This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. Hi, how are you? We are The Show with Clayton McKee, coming to you live from Studio C in the heart of Central Phoenix on this Tuesday night.
Tuesday it is.
Every Tuesday we kind of gather and we do this.
Turns out, yeah.
Except on the Tuesdays that we don't gather.
Right.
Then we don't do a show.
Sure.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's fair.
I think it is.
Fair and accurate.
We don't want them to expect more from us than we really can give. So no live show when we're not here. Sorry about that. Hi, everybody in the chat room. Richard, Drew, of course, Missy L's in there. And I don't see Dr. Ben Carlson has signed in yet. Mom has, I talked to her earlier. She's, again, this is apparently the final of the NBA playoffs tonight. So
that's the thing tonight, huh?
She's watching with no sound because she doesn't like the fact that she watches it all with no sound because she doesn't need them to tell her what the fuck is happening.
Wait, our show or the basketball? She gets
it. No, the basketball.
Well, she probably the L's drunk, screaming about the Tonys. probably needs help.
So she's watching with no sound the NBA playoffs and watching and listening to us on her iPad. So
she's very busy.
Well, Mama Di, we need an update. I think I missed a game. Did they play last night and I missed it?
I'm not sure. Hi, Mart.
Because it was 3-2.
I don't know.
Yesterday, so.
Yesterday. Oh, well, Marnie's here.
So it's 3-3?
That part I don't
remember.
If they went to a game seven, then it's 3-3.
All I know is that Mom is hoping that Golden State wins so that Cleveland doesn't, because she can't stand LeBron James. That's all I.
And I just want Cleveland to win because, you know, they lost him. He won some for another team, and then he came back to them.
The series appears to be 3-2 going into this game with Golden State in the lead. So if they tie it up tonight, then they'll play on the 19th.
Then there wasn't a game last night. Okay. Because I saw the end of Sunday's game. And then I lost track.
Yeah.
I was at the movies yesterday getting my movies on.
Like you do. In the cool breeze of the AMC theaters.
In the cool of the evening.
Dun, 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 dun.
Definitely. Yeah.
Of course.
I call it enjoying someone else's air conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For $8 or $10, whatever it costs you to get in.
That's a sport in this town. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Let's just check just for idle curiosity right now. Current temperature, Phoenix, Arizona, on this the 16th day of June, 108 degrees. However, in fairness, it has been such a lovely spring for us.
Can't complain.
We really can't bitch about this.
Nope, and I shan't.
By using somebody else's air conditioning.
Yeah.
By renting.
I mean, I did not once moan or groan on my bike ride over here today.
Yeah.
Even though it was 112 and I was in my car at 6:10.
Yeah, it's a hot one.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, and then Wednesday. Oh, just in case you don't know, we're going for the gold.
We're going up
Wednesday through Saturday. It's predicted at 115.
Yeah, that's not bad. Call me what I laid out in the sun when it was 120. So scare me.
I saw a thing online that apparently the hottest recorded day in June ever was 122 back in 1990.
Yeah.
At the pool.
Yep. At a girl.
Yeah. 121 was the day before, and they stopped all flights because
too hot. They can't get air.
They can't get up.
They couldn't decide how long they needed. And then the next day it hit 122, and they made it up again. And then someone said, you know, if you just move the thermometer for the city off of the airport, and they hit it, and that's why it hasn't hit 122 again. It's not that it's not 122, it's that they don't keep the thermometer in the same place anymore. They put it in the shade about a block over, near a fan.
Pretty smart.
Because you also don't get any tourists when you put up 122. So they're like,
ambient,
that's
pretty, I'm sure.
Ambient air temperature is not the same as putting it right in the fucking sun. I took my infrared thermometer out earlier, and it was my patio was 114 degrees.
Yeah.
And that was at 9:30, 10 o'clock this morning.
That I always laugh. Like, that's why, you know, with global warming, it's never hit that temperature again. No bullshit. They moved the thermometer.
Yeah, right. Next to a fan with an ice block between it.
And I think they did the, if I'm not mistaken.
Hi, Meow Cal. Good evening. Drew, hello.
I believe that they figured out the temperature to land a plane up to 126.
Yeah.
I think that's the cutoff.
Yeah.
To land or to launch?
It was both.
Okay.
The braking temperature and the tires exploding, like the heat of the pavement and all that stuff. But it was the takeoff of how everything, I think, if I remember.
It should be the takeoff.
It's been like 25 years.
The extreme heat ought to kind of change the amount of speed you need to get the lift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was a big thing that the airport was like, nope, we don't have any, yeah. we don't have anything for over 120.
I feel like we should call my cousin who's a pilot and ask him, get him live on with us and say, find out exactly from a pilot what's the cutoff? What are they telling you?
All right. And he's probably going to say, I don't know. We could also get that hot anywhere but there.
Right. Like, he's like, well,
no
I'm not,
one but people
I'm not
in Phoenix need to know that.
He does fly out here occasionally. So, but I think the company he works for is smart enough to not come out here in June, July,
sure.
August.
Mm-hmm.
They come out here in the beautiful months of December through March.
Okay. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello again, everybody. It is show 219. It's a Tuesday night on the 16th of June on this lovely Tuesday night. Thank you for being with us from wherever you are listening, live or otherwise. We'll start with Kat Carlson. Go around the old table of love and tenderness.
Well, hi. Gosh.
Hi.
Since you know what? I am on a movie bender.
Oh.
I've seen 3 movies in a month.
Nice.
Well, that's a lot.
That would be an annual for me if that.
Seriously, no, that's probably more movies than I've seen in the theater in about a year.
Okay.
I went and saw Jurassic World this weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And had a wonderful time. I took just the one kid because he'd been begging about it. And I don't know where he found out about it because we don't watch televised anything, so we don't see a whole lot of commercials. But he heard about
it. Doesn't he have friends that say...
Well, sure, but I mean, it's summer. We're isolated.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about
been,
that.
Yeah,
we're
slightly this isolated. One, like,
right.
For a long time.
And Jurassic Park has been on Sci-Fi Network, ABC, and one other network has been playing it like on
sure,
a loop.
On a loop.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I said sometime last week I was home and I was like, oh, I need to catch up. You know, I need to follow the storyline. So I watched all 3 of them. I did a marathon of all 3 of them.
Because
I love number 3.
Do you?
The one, the much maligned Jurassic Park 3. Mm.
I didn't know there was. I thought there was only the first one. There are others?
Yes.
Oh. Well, and if you are someone who thinks there's only the first one, you can go from the first to the world and be fine.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
You don't need all the ones in the middle.
Oh, you've seen it. You've seen it too?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Oh good.
Yeah.
As the whole world did.
I have not been in a more full, busy movie theater than I was when we went to see Jurassic World because we went... Saturday afternoon, I picked the kid up, and I'm thinking, like, we're used to kind of just strolling into movies. Like, we don't see them opening weekend hardly ever, and, you know, so we're used to just kind of strolling in at 5 minutes to showtime and having plenty of time, and, you know, movie attendance is kind of down overall, I think. So we walk up to the ticket window, you know, I picked him up, I'm like, oh, the movie's at, like, 1:45, we get there at, like, 1:30, plenty of time, no problem. We walk up, and the girl's like, we're, like, 80% sold, it's scattered seating in there, are you sure? Like, she's basically trying to talk people out of buying for that showing. And I looked at the kid and I'm like, nope, we are not sitting in the front row for this bullshit.
Yeah.
We're going to go. So I get on the phone and look up the next showing at someplace else and, you know, to make it work in our schedule because I had to go to work later. So I had kind of a cutoff. So, yeah, we ended up, like, hopping theaters because I wasn't going to deal with how full it was. And there were so many fucking people everywhere.
I saw it last night at 7. And
Was it still busy?
It was still busy.
Was it? Wow.
And I got there 20 minutes early. And I said, you know, I was alone.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's not to find the singles, not that to find the scattered seats, not hard.
Right.
Not for you.
And I knew not to call anybody. Like I was like, oh, no, we're not trying to go see this.
Yeah.
Drew saying he went at noon on Saturday. Theater was full. Couldn't believe it. Earliest he'd been to a movie in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it was every show.
We were an early one. It was everyone all day long, I think. It's fantastic. But lots of fun for that. And other than that, a whole lot of work, a little bit of drink, and bam, it's Tuesday again.
I'm good. I haven't had to deal with a lot of lines for movie theaters because I'm just now seeing Titanic, and it's in the theater. Totally kidding you. Totally kidding you.
For those of you that can't see my face, I'm just giving the slow blink to Clayton McKee.
Still better in the theater.
Oh, my God. I saw it. I saw it 8 times in the theater, and the final was... In the original Santa Capri.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was back in the days of trying to see everything worthwhile. Like, you would have your regular movie list and then your Santa Capri list.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think I saw it 3 times before I finally saw it at Santa Capri. Because people would be like, oh, I want to go. I'm like, well, let's try Santa Capri, and it would be sold out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we'd go and see somewhere else. And then finally I went and saw it. I got to see it on the... And it was their last movie, wasn't it?
It was, though. Mm-hmm. I believe. For those of you outside of Phoenix, Santa Capri was the largest screen in the state of Arizona. It was a great old 1960s.
Oh, no, 1930s movie house. It's one of the original movie houses in Arizona.
It cannot have been a 1930s.
Yeah, refurbished several times. The Santa Capri, the Kachina, they were all the same owned. They were all owned, like, they were all their own thing at one time. There was the Kachina in Scottsdale.
They were all Harkins.
No, Harkins bought them later.
They bought them later. 30s in that part of the city, because that would have all been orange groves. I didn't think that was that. I'd like to look it up. Can I phone a friend?
I know the one in Scottsdale. I know the Kachina was definitely from the 30s, and I can't remember what the other one was. There was one in South Scottsdale, one in Old Town.
I'm going to look that up, because I just didn't think that the one on 24th and Calbeck was that old. I thought it was from the 60s, maybe 50s.
That would make sense.
April 1st, 1960.
Are we talking about 24th Street and Camelback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
66.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Construction began in 1964.
What's the Kachina then? Look up the Kachina in Scottsdale.
Spell it.
K-A-C-H-I-N-I.
The traditional spelling. Kachina. The only reason I said that was because the Kachina did their tribute to the 1930s when they closed down in 1989.
Opened in 1960, November 60.
I was completely wrong, because when they tore it down in 1989, they did a throwback to the prices of 1939, and they did the golden year of Hollywood.
But now the Orpheum, the Orpheum downtown would have been one of the originals from that era.
But that was a legit theater, then a movie house, then a legit theater.
Then legit theater, got it.
Okay, so it all came along with
fascinating
theater really. Scope, yeah. CinemaScope.
CinemaScope. Oh, right. And then later there was the Technicolor. We love the Technicolor was before that, wasn't it? Yeah, whatever. Well, anywho,
this may have been the worst history of film
ever,
ever recorded and broadcast.
I just stayed out of it because I have no idea.
Technicolor was always around.
Feel like
CinemaScope
you've
was to compete with television. CinemaScope was to compete with, so people didn't stay home and wait for a movie to come to reruns.
Oh.
It was in direct. That's why it got so big, so you couldn't see it.
Oh, because it cuts off on the sides, like you'd said before when you Pan watched Jaws. Right. On a TV, because it's cut down, you don't see anything going on the peripheral.
So old movies don't matter. Like Gone with the Wind was never in CinemaScope. Gone with the Wind is a small TV sized movie. When they try to show that in the big screen, they have to close the curtains.
Right.
But when you get to CinemaScope movies and anything after CinemaScope, that's when to show it on your screen, they have to pan and scan. They can't show you the whole thing, which is why you should never watch A League of Their Own, Jaws, Indiana Jones. There's so many movies that you just cannot watch on TV. Because you're just watching a camera go like
But
this.
You can watch them if you get the DVD
anyway.
Now. You
Letterboxed.
Can. Letterboxd, right. You can watch it now. Got it.
All right. This just went off the rails.
Wow.
What did you do?
Hi, Marn.
The history of film. Marn, what have you been doing?
You did something with a tow truck.
Oh.
Tell us that story, would you please?
Yeah, we were in, we were running around looking for Erin's bathroom.
She doesn't know where her bathroom is.
No, she can't find it anywhere. we even looked in the avenues and we couldn't find it.
Because that's where bathrooms often are.
It may be. We don't know. You can't judge. So we went. She's redoing the whole back bathroom, and so we went to look for some tiles, showrooms, and some different things.
Okay.
So we're out on that side of town, and my car had been doing this. Thing it did it about 3 weeks ago where you're driving and it's almost like you're trying to drive with a parking brake on. Like it just
this
lunges.
Is the Buick?
No, my Roo.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Roo. I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay.
And like it almost just kind of lunges and like the back tires, it's nothing. It looks like the brakes are just clamped on. And so, well, that wasn't the case. And we were able to get out of our first situation 3 weeks ago. Took it in. They looked at it. Nothing.
Of course.
Can't find it, right?
Of course.
Like, okay.
Nothing to see here.
No, yeah. No. And then we are on the corner of 27th Avenue and Camelback at rush hour.
Okay.
And it wouldn't go anywhere. And we were just, there's an AutoZone right there, the Momo Mart, which I now call the Homo Mart.
Yeah. Because
that's where we sat.
Like you should.
We were just.
That's what I thought Momo Mart meant.
We were just past the place where we could have attempted to turn in.
Mm-hmm.
Like just past the drive-in. So, and it wouldn't go anywhere anyway. It was locked. And it would run. The AC was working. No go. No light. And no light to say, like, check engine.
Not right.
That, nothing.
Right.
And so I'm like, fuck. What are you kidding me? And people don't understand what a fat girl standing in the middle of the heat on the thing going like this, waving her arms. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
Were you wearing that shirt?
Because they can't see me.
Oh, what were you wearing?
Wow. That got ugly really fast.
No. I'm just thinking, what?
No.
Were you wearing that shirt?
No, but I mean, there's no reason.
If it was a beige shirt, they may not have seen you.
I understand. Apparently, in black, I look just like the asphalt. I don't know. I was the president of the NAACP. I gave that up. And, I mean, for real, it was just like, come on. So we finally got it to where, because I couldn't even in neutral push it anywhere.
Oh, wow.
See, that's what I went through. Oh. We're like, Remember, I told you.
Yes, there was locked nothing. Right up.
We were a go no go for launch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a no go, by the way.
And that's a four wheel disc brake car, isn't it? Or are the backs drum?
All no, wheel.
All wheel drive. Four wheel disc brake, or is it rear drum?
I don't know. Don't ask me. Confused.
What year is it? No, because almost everything. Oh, it's. I'll bet it's discs.
I would think it's all.
They don't do drums anymore.
I didn't realize we broadcast in a foreign language. This is so exciting. It's like George Bush's acceptance speech all over again.
It's very confusing. Anyway,
don't underestimate it.
I got it. I finally got it to where it would move, and I was able to push it backwards. Like I got cleared. So we could try to get in right, exactly. Right. Kind of how when I back up my chair, like, yeah. Same thing.
I make that noise every time I back up. Like,
and
with this ass, legally obligated to do it.
We got out of harm's way.
So funny, you're
luckily.
Joking. You don't spit.
And then AAA came and took us back to our side of town.
Where did you take the car?
Firestone, just the place where I normally go on 37th.
Okay, that redid your brakes, not.
They haven't been done for a while.
But it was a few years ago. You had them done.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they said that they don't think it's the brakes. And it started, the other thing was that was like, okay, was as we're sitting there in all this traffic and commotion, the smoke just started pouring out from the left tire. And it smelled like just burning rubber, and it was awful.
It feels bad to
that
me.
That sounds like...
Judge's rule, time to get a new car.
Oh, well, that's where I was. This is the second time it happened in under a month.
Sounds like brakes overheating.
And it may be, but my deal is it's the second time that's happened in a month. They're not able to find it. They looked at the brakes. They looked at everything.
Yeah.
And so my concern is I don't want to find out a third time when we think we're good to go to San Diego or we're good to go up north or something.
So is this when you talk to Clayton and Clayton buys your car for $30 and then and then I magically fix it?
I'm not going to play with you. That hadn't come into my mind, but, well, ruling.
I'll permit it. Yeah. I'll permit it.
$45.
I'll give you a C note.
Sorry for that boring kind of shit.
I'll give you a full C note.
So they came and they picked us up, and it was a lovely, lovely. We took pictures because
I saw the back seat of the cab. Yes,
we're like, are you kidding?
That was funny, or not the cab, the tow truck.
No, Tomo, you haven't, honey.
Car chat, USA.
Hi, Tomo. Welcome to car talk.
No pop tarts
with
yet,
click and clack.
He said no pop tarts yet.
Well, God damn it.
That's ridiculous.
Where the hell? We got to figure this out.
Did you get a
I have
a tracking number.
Yeah. They didn't say it was really a tracking number, but I have the receipt. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Anyway, digress. But that was good.
Did it ship by Malaysia Air?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what USPS uses, but from what I understood, it was going from here to Hawaii and from Hawaii on to the New Zealand territory. But I don't think
we may have gotten
territory. I don't think that Malaysian Air flies.
It's on a prisoner's holiday. I'm trying to plan a trip to Australia and New Zealand. I'm trying to work that out, and I'm calling it a prisoner's holiday.
I like it. And we saw Jurassic World on Sunday, and Richard, there will be no spoilers.
Did you enjoy it? Did you like it?
I really did. We saw it in 3D, which it made me think of Al the whole time that we were sitting in there.
Because it wasn't really filmed in 3D. I meant to put that out there.
I was wondering about that, because I'm like, when things were kind of coming forward... I was thinking of sitting in front of your TV watching...
Yes, in front of his TV.
Because
we watched Gravity, which was really filmed in 3D.
Right, and all of a sudden, I literally ducked at one point. And here in Jurassic World, it was there and it was prominent, but it was
computer
cool.
Enhanced and...
It was all done in post. And I Googled that first when I was making my selection.
Yeah,
I did it with IMAX
cool.
now too. Like, is it really filmed in IMAX or are we just blowing it up to fill half the screen and annoying?
Yeah, it was, I thought it was really good. And I enjoyed myself. Oh. We took Aaron's dad for Father's Day. That's what his big deal is. He wanted to go to that.
Just checking the pacemaker or what's the plan?
No, he loves Jurassic Park, and the kids are like, really? Okay. So we just did that, and it was the first movie I've been in a long time where at the end, everybody applauded.
Really?
Yeah, and I loved that, and that's not a spoiler, Richard. That's just the idea that it was so good, that at the end.
We kind of did a little bit, Armand and I, we were yes!
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
It was really kind of fun, and the whole audience, and I thought, oh my god, this is very fun, and then I just wanted to, I liked it, so it was good.
good. I like Tomo's comment. I think the dingo ate my Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Or the fat man at the post office would
be your
best bet.
Well, Tomo, my receipt on the 19th of May this year of 2015, it says they wrote 6 to 10 days is what they had thought. I have a customs form number, but apparently there's not really a tracking number. I will do some research and see if I can find out anything about it, because by God, it should be to you
ought
by now.
To be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
by anyone's standards.
Oh, I would think so. My God, I could have floated it in a bottle and probably got it to you. Just a guess.
Again, I think we're enjoying Malaysia Airlines.
Hot tart in a bottle. I like it.
I haven't heard of them losing any other flights of late, so I'm not sure.
Oh, they've had all kinds of stops and starts, those fuckers.
Oh, well, there's that.
There's those people. So I went to Denver.
Yes, you did. I saw pictures of you
the
in another
Republic of Colorado.
Yes, and I have to ask, whose idea was it to go to the Coors tasting?
Right?
I was a little surprised.
Well, why not?
We really didn't know a lot to do, and because we were there for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the wedding was in Lakewood, which is where we stayed, in the southwestern suburb of, the Denver metropolis, metro area, if you will. And Golden, Colorado, is the next little town over. So it was very, very close by. And we did the little town of Golden. And it was just to see, we always did that as kids, though. So it was kind of a joke that we went to breweries. As long as they were union, that was always the rule. We would go to any factory as long as it was a union factory.
Got it. Because Dad was in Nabisco.
Was in a union and very pro-labor. So we went, and we had done Utica Club beer in upstate New York, Geneseo beer at one point. So it was fun to go to a brewery, learn about the different things. Coors Light's what they're really famous for that, and not because it's light in calories, but because it's so clear. Like, they've removed all flavor
filters. Yeah.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, isn't
see your
Coors Light
until too late, and I was laughing so hard I was going to be like, "Boo!"
Yeah. So they do have something called I think it's the Banquet. Coors Banquet is their
flagship.
Yeah, that's what Coors regular was called. It was Coors Banquet.
Okay.
They do Coors 19, which was the brew that they did pre-prohibition that I found delicious. They also do. Oh, shit, damn. They brew Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm.
They do...
That's right.
They're actually the ones that coined...
I never even thought about that, but that's right.
They
do.
They're actually the ones that coined the term craft beer.
Oh.
To sell their Blue Moon product. No, it's a true story, because Coors was like, okay, we've got this thing, and microbrews were such a big thing at the time when they came up with and started brewing Blue Moon. They're like, well, we want to capture all the craft beer people or all these microbrew people, but we're not a microbrew. We're making it nationally. So they coined the term craft beer to try and appeal to the microbrew market, and it worked.
And they do Killian's Red there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved the 19, the one that was the Prohibition, pre-Prohibition brand. The Banquet was really good, and then you get trashed. It's free, which I was not expecting it to be free. I thought there was going to be some exorbitant price, but you park for free. You get on this little shuttle. They take you to the plant. You walk through with little walkie talkies. My nose with little walkie talkies, and you listen to the audio tour at your own pace. You can skip parts if you're not interested. The actual processing plant was open, so we watched them do the packaging, just like in Laverne and Shirley.
Oh. Yeah.
So I did a little Cheville Chamel.
House of Heff Incorporated.
And we read all about it. It was interesting, and then you do, like, the freshest Coors Light you'll ever have. They had I think it was the Coors Banquet and the Coors Light, like, right there, right before they went into a can. You could get a little cup. And then you got to the end, and you got three full, like, fucking glasses.
Oh,
yes.
And you had your choice of the 19, the Banquet, the Coors Light, the Killian's Red, the Blue Moon. You got three fucking glasses after you've already had a sip. Trashed.
Oh, wow.
I had to stop it, too, because I was driving, and we had to walk. Like, we had to abandon the car and, like, leave it in the Coors parking lot and walk and have lunch and come back, because I'm like, I can't drive.
Right.
And so, Beer and I started dating
a few
weeks back.
Well, you had that, yeah. We had it the other night at the old Stacy's. You were having some.
And Beer and I have broken up. I have now discovered the horrible after effect of beer and am no longer participating.
Oh.
Because the not sleeping after vodka, I'm good with insomnia. I am not good with what beer does to you the next day. That did not make for a pretty day.
Not always
cute.
Right.
I see.
Sometimes it's... It's a little tough. It looks like you scratched it.
What if you did? You
gotta, I don't know, but it hurts.
The surgery's not going well?
No, no. Uh-huh. Oh, God, I wish. Uh-huh. Chisel this fucker down. So that was it. So it was a fun trip in on Thursday, out on Sunday. Met, you know, friends of my sister's. Their daughter was getting married. There was all kinds of people from Niagara Falls there. It was kind of funny. Met people that I didn't know, but I knew family names.
And that was the picture that you took. That's when you were in a tie. First of all, you're in a tie. That's a little bit odd. That's
how did I miss the tie?
That's
picture?
Both your sisters, right? I recognize Debbie. That's the other sister.
Yeah, that's my sister.
Which I've not met, and I'm like, I think that's a rarity that you get all of you outside of New York.
Right. Very, very rare. Actually, not since, I think it was the first time the three of us have been in a state that wasn't Arizona or New York since 1976.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That we'd all, that's why I was like, when Nancy said she wanted to go, I'm like, well, God damn it, we gotta get this shit together. So it was, but it was fun. I really didn't know anybody. They were like, oh, you'll know people. I mean, I know a couple people by their last names and stuff, but maybe, you know, met people, chit-chatted. It was nice to see big families getting together and saw a little bit of Colorado, but not too much. It was more about, like, visiting with them, visiting with others, and one little family adventure that we'll tell you about another time. But I saw Red Rocks Amphitheater. If you've ever seen a concert on cable or rented a thing, anything from the Red Rocks Amphitheater, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's near Golden, Colorado, and it's carved out of the natural red rocks like Sedona, and it sits just like the Hollywood Bowl or the Greek Theater, you know, it's a natural amphitheater, but it looks out over the most gorgeous vistas, and, you know, it's a fucking walk. First you gotta drive up a mountain, then you gotta walk up a mountain. And then there's crazy motherfuckers
climb
like,
every mountain.
What's it called when you do a stadium, when you do all the stairs in a stadium?
Something I've never done.
It's got a name, and I still can't think of it.
Something I might never do.
But there was people, like, doing up and down the amphitheater stairs and
sprints?
Going across, and they.
Oh, no, I remember overachiever.
No, it's got a name.
Not when this fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Not today, Satan.
Not today. That's what I call it. But there's people like running up and down the stairs, and then stopping and doing like crazy push-ups and shit. It was nuts, but absolutely gorgeous views.
Are you looking for tour de stade, or perhaps tour de stade, tour of the stadium where you go up and down every section and all the way around.
And it's a work on. They do it at like the Coliseum in LA, and like
I just didn't realize
doing
that there
the
was
same
a,
thing you are. That's yeah, a, actual, but that's what I come up with too.
And you stayed. Yeah.
There's a lot. Everybody's got a different name for it. It's called Stupid Al. Thanks, Tomo. Yeah.
Tomo.
And I did not see until I actually was leaving town on the super shuttle. I did not see a pot dispensary. In all of my driving around, it wasn't until the very last day driving through, I saw one, it was a medical place.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the first 2 days, rain, like I have never, not even in Niagara Falls, which it, I think is categorized as a rainforest, or at least in my mind it is.
Sure.
I have never seen rain like this. Outside, like Seattle and Niagara Falls, the only two places on Earth that I have seen this kind of, like the clouds were at your head level.
Right.
No joke, because you were so far up.
Right.
And it rained so hard for the first 24 hours we were there. It was insanity. And they had flooding and things washing out, but not like rain like here where it's like, you know,
15 minutes.
This was 24 solid hours of like, and there was a creek that what used to be a creek was now a raging river through the middle of Denver that my brother-in-law was like, I don't think that probably happens a lot. And I'm like, bring it on, people. We need your river. I don't know where the Colorado sneaks up
it
into
somehow
here.
Somehow drifts down to the Arizona somehow.
Yeah.
You know what?
Rocky Mountain thunderstorms in the summer, though, are a fantastic show to see. Was it like thunder and rain or just rain?
And they've had like 40 out of the last 50 days of rain. They've had excessive amounts of rain. Like all the mountains are green.
Yeah.
And everyone is commenting that nothing should look like this.
Right. It's usually kind of brownish.
But this was Seattle kind of like.
Lush.
Yeah. No, I mean, the rain was so intense. Because I've told that story about being in Tacoma the one time and only had to walk like three blocks in this. And all of us that are, if you're not from somewhere like Pennsylvania, it rains like that too. There's Minnesota, I'm sure too. Like where it truly, truly rains. Like I walked two blocks in Tacoma once and lost shoes. My phone died. My wallet was ruined. Like
if it's going to rain, it's going sideways.
Yeah, everything on me was completely ruined by the time I got to my next destination, which was about a block away. So this was that kind of rain where you couldn't see anything. Like driving was nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And not because I'm a bad driver, but because you just could not see. Because
you can't, right.
Right.
There
and it didn't let up. That was the craziness, is it just did not let up. Oh, God, and the clouds coming through. So, what'd you do? Mm-hmm. We were at the same airport.
Well, we for a brief time, yes, you and I were in Denver at the same time, just not together, because my flight, I flew to my end result, my end destination was Lansing, Michigan. I DJ'd a pageant for a friend who owns a division of a pageant world, whatever. It was an interesting little. You meet a lot of interesting people in the pageant world.
Oh, I'm sure. Takes all kinds.
So I decided I had to come back to my house, and I haven't yet, but I need to spend a day alone in my workshop working on a lawnmower for a cleansing from being around that many drag queens in one room with that much plastic surgery. So flew from Phoenix to Denver, had just a literally 45-minute layover, if that, and then boom, we were on to Grand Rapids. And then there was the shuttle bus, which they call the party bus, which
I saw.
The reason for the party bus was because they had a cooler with a couple bottles of vodka and a couple mixers. You know the shuttle buses that you get on at the airport when you have to go to the car rental agency, like you pick up a car. It was one of those, but it really had been through the mill. We died. The vehicle died like two or three times. We pulled off the highway. Somehow got it restarted and carried on. Got clear to the over an hour drive between Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Lansing, where we were made it. But I don't need to be on that shuttle bus service anymore. I was good. But it was a fun time. I was the first time, like you had said earlier, Al. You've been to the Betty Ford Clinic. I've been to the Gerald Ford Airport twice, two times.
Happily married couple, two different parts of the country.
In and out, yeah. So. I got to enjoy. The funny thing is, and if you don't fly a lot, which I do not, you forget. Like, I've flown in and out of Sky Harbor so many times, I get that routine. I know how it works. I know where everything is. But you fly into a much smaller, and I mean substantially smaller airport in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's different. You don't give your bag to the Southwest airline agent. They put a tag on it. Then you walk it to another place and another whole area scans it. Like, you give it to a different person. It's all different. It was just odd. Just because it's so much more local and small.
Yeah, and they probably call themselves international because somebody flies to Toronto once a week.
And I don't even know if international was part of the airport name. I would have to look it back up. But would you look up the Gerald R. Ford?
I feel like
airport.
It was. I feel like it was international.
Maybe it was
because they're close enough to puddle jump to Windsor. You know
but I mean? Did realize one thing. I didn't think there was an advantage to it. I subscribed to the TSA PreCheck program, where you pay $75-$80.
Worth every penny.
They check everything. I didn't realize leaving Phoenix. I didn't realize the advantage to it, but I really realized it there. Here, in a city as large as Phoenix, a lot more people are part of that program. There is a line. It is not the 8,000 people line that's over here for the general boarding or the general scanning. Oh, no.
You, the great unwashed.
You don't have to take your laptop out of your backpack. You don't take your shoes off. You take your belt buckle.
Nice.
You take your belt off.
Sure.
But it is so much more expedient. And when I was coming back through Grand Rapids, they had to pull somebody off of another line because nobody was in that TSA line. They had to, we'll be right with you. And they came right over, scanned through, gone, done. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Nice.
It was really, really.
Because I have to get my passport redone this year. So
do that. Well, there's two different ones. You can do the TSA pre-check. There's also another one that's Homeland Security that's above all that. You just literally walk to the plane. You don't even give a shit.
Yeah,
that's the one you need to do.
One.
Plus, and there's some airports that have, and I love it, they have the line for, people traveling with families, people that don't travel a lot.
I'm going to tell you a story in a minute about that.
People that travel so that you don't get stuck behind, the stroller, the car seat, every toy Johnny's ever had.
Because it's a pain, and it has to be done.
Or
but
the people
not
that wear,
sit behind that.
Watches and earrings and belts.
Right,
you know
piercings
I mean?
And shit. Right.
I'm in slip-on shoes.
Mm-hmm. Flip-flops if I can.
Yeah, flip-flops if I can get away with it.
A caftan.
Hey, if it gets me through that line faster, I am not above a moo-moo, people.
Right.
And it's comfortable, it's breezy.
Yeah.
So my flight leaves Phoenix on this past Saturday morning, and I underestimate how people travel because I'm thinking I can get to the airport in the morning. Like, my flight's at 7:30. I can get there by 6:30. I'll be fine. Nobody flies on Saturday morning that early is my thought. I am completely wrong on this.
Yeah,
very wrong on this. Get to the airport, get checked in. Everything's fine. Yada, yada, yada. I was at risk at actually having my luggage not get on the flight because it was a late check-in, according to them, blah, blah, blah. Anywho, I get to the gate And I'm standing there, and I've got my boarding pass on my phone, like you do, yada, yada, yada. And I just am assessing the crowd around me and realizing the other people that I knew were meeting me for the flight were there. It's all good. Everybody's in place. And I look over, and what I term them as a low-budget Duggar family with questionable morals. There were three adults.
That's quite the judgment.
How is that different than just calling them the Duggars?
Because they weren't. They actually weren't the Duggars. I knew that.
Well played.
I looked at them and I out loud I said, "Oh Jesus Christ!" And there were three.
And then they started to pray.
No, there were three adults and 10 children.
Holy shit.
God bless those adults. Ridiculous.
And I swear, I'm sure Loretta Lynn was going to sing "And One's on the Way" somewhere. So I said it, and there were five older women, probably in their 70s, that were sitting around. And I said that, and one laughed. And she says, "Yeah, we already noticed that. We're not sitting near them." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, ladies, for what I just said." She goes, "Oh, no, we've already said it." And I said, "Is there vodka on this flight?" And she goes, "If you didn't bring it, they better have it on the plane."
Yeah.
Oh my God, the people that fly with kids, I forget. And I think if I had the money, I don't know how successful, but I would think if you could get one flight in and out of any big airport in a major city, no children allowed. 21 and older airline, boom.
Yeah.
I think you got a market. You got a niche market there.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with 12 and up.
Well, you got a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that...
Because once you can get them glued into an iPad or an iPhone, they're not usually that bad.
Yeah, once it's they're old enough for Benadryl.
It's the littles that are really hard.
Once they're old enough to slip two Benadryl, too, good luck and God bless.
Yeah.
At a year, you start
I'm pretty sure
it.
The problem...
let's go with Benadryl and up.
I'm pretty sure the problem was, like we all experienced, the air pressure, the ears, and the changing, and it was... I get that, but... Oh, my God, when I saw them walk in, and everybody... You know how everybody reacts on a plane. You're already seated... And you see them walk in, and you're just like, oh, there are empty seats around me. Please do not sit near me.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is...
no good can come of this.
What we did is, as a group, we collectively sat in all exit rows. They can't sit in the row, and typically not around us is what they did do. That was Southwest. Yeah, so it was interesting. But anyway, to Lansing, Michigan, it's so lush and beautiful. I forget that from being from Missouri. It is green everywhere. And I forget how beautiful that is.
It smells so good.
It's clean, fresh air. What I did notice is they have the same shitty highway department, apparently in Michigan, that we have in Missouri, because there are sections where you go and it's just the whole thing just go like this. Yeah. If you're at the wrong speed, the entire ride is like this. Man your horse,
and
ladies.
Not in the fun way?
No. I thought I was going to win the Triple Crown just riding in that tour bus or that little...
I had to laugh because I...
stand up a little bit in your stirrups there. Makes the ride easier.
The rental car was in my name, so I drove all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I was your best chance of a sober person, so...
Also, wow.
Have you heard the stories about my family?
I sure have.
What, do you know what car you were driving?
Oh.
Blue?
Don't give me a color.
I believe it was white. I believe. It was a Tucson.
A Hyundai Tucson? Yep.
Yeah.
A little SUV?
It was kind of like the old crossover.
Okay.
Sat a little higher up.
Uh-huh.
Same blind spots.
Okay.
But
cross tour.
Yeah.
You mean cross tour? You had a cross tour.
Cross tour.
Yes.
Sure.
The Honda that
sounds like a word.
Honda, it was Santa Fe. The Santa Fe is a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
This was definitely a Tucson though, because then I had to spell Tucson. I'm like Tucson.
Tucson.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Every time.
Oh.
So, but I had to drive, and I you know, you're driving the traffic. There's some construction. They're doing their own version of Carmageddon over the course of the couple weekends where they're closing down a major. Bit of road every weekend, so you're rerouted, and it's a little bit awful when you're going through their construction, because they have it's bad traffic. I hit a pothole so fucking hard.
But
I screamed and thought the world was ending, and there's my family that, you know, live in Niagara Falls and Grand
Calm
Island.
Calm down,
like,
Alfie.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I am not used to potholes. That is not part of my...
Well, no, because here it's 122 degrees, and if you hit a pothole, your fucking tire explodes.
Yeah. Right. We're going to stop here.
Right.
Change a tire. Yes.
Yeah, that is very
But it was... It is funny to... And, you know, Colorado's been in a drought for years. They were on... Mm-hmm. And they weren't on Hollywood, California fake... water restrictions. They were on real water restrictions where they went right for the gold at the beginning. There was like no lawns, no this, no that. So they are really
spoiled.
They got
a beer to support.
So not only is their drought completely over, But like their aquifers are full. Like they're in like a really solid, good place,
right?
But now their worry is if they turn to drought, they just had all this tinder growing. You know what I mean? Like they just had all this kindling just grew. So they're hoping that it wasn't like surprise. Now it's over.
Yeah.
But there was still snow in the peaks and everything. Really pretty. That is.
Yeah, when we flew in, I saw that. The Rockies still have a bunch of snow up there.
And so the aborted trip had some beautiful, beautiful just peaks and stuff. Just there's just some beautiful places. And found out that, you know, none of it should have been green. Like, none of it has been green.
I'm surprised to find that, or to hear that you didn't have any other run-in with the marijuana than you, that you... You only saw one thing on your way out of town.
Yeah.
Because when I was there doing the system, and I literally...
But I wasn't in Denver. I was in a suburb, so...
Oh, I'm in downtown Denver.
Yeah.
And you can just stand on the street and smell, at least where I was. It may have been a questionable hotel, I'll give you that. But... I was surprised,
what?
Like when we
at
got
a drag pageant.
No. Last summer when I was in Denver.
Oh, okay.
Doing installs for Charlie's.
We smelled it once outside a restaurant.
Not that I give a shit. I'm just like, it was everywhere. And of course, the bartenders at other bars were like, "Oh no, you can't smoke it in public." Bullshit. They're on your patio. I see them.
Right.
Yeah. Like again, I don't give a shit, but I'm like, don't lie to me and tell me that. What is it, Judge Judy? Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining.
Yeah, I love that.
Don't piss on me. There's that. All right, well, kids, what's this? What's Jenny, don't lose my number.
Six kids, all 1 year apart, and I think we were well behaved. One of the first phrases I learned was single file.
You know, and that's a good point, but that's something that's actually kind of just missing in public now. Like, there are families out there that can take their kids places and be perfectly respectable people for the most part. Like, kids are going to be unpredictable at all times, but like there are parents out there that have made it their mission to make them reasonable humans.
But they're
not the ones that you notice. They are never the ones that you notice.
Right.
It's
like
the bad apple.
Yeah, it's the extremist. This. It's the whatever. Like
the,
you always
the squeaky
notice
wheel or whatever that phrase is.
You always notice the dipshits when you've passed eight other families where the kids are perfectly just fine. Like absolutely, Jenny.
We left a restaurant this morning after breakfast, and as we're walking out, Aaron was holding the door, and there were two little kids and a little boy, little girl, and the mom coming in, and the little boy kind of just was ready to walk through the door, and the mom just kind of grabbed the back of his shirt very gently. Like, oh no, you're not going anywhere.
Not your turn.
Took his head, put it up toward Aaron's face so he was looking up to her, and said, "Now repeat after me." And he's like, "Thank you."
Oh,
good.
But the way that she went about it was kind of like, I'm not going to attack him. I'm not going to yell at him. I'm not going to. We're just going to keep practicing.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And whatever your method, it is practice. Like, it's practice, practice, practice.
My mom's 13 or 14.
Right. And he was he was adorable. And he was kind of like, dang it. You know, you could tell.
I almost got inside.
Oh, yeah.
But you could tell. He was like, I forgot.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
that's good.
It was really good. I forgot. So
very good for him.
And then she clicked something and threw him a chocolate. Parenting dog with brain, same fucking animal. Yeah.
Same song.
Yeah.
Very much.
Oh, well, that's our catch-up time for this week. We're going to come right back with headlines and more stuff right after this. Stick with us, won't you?
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
Are you ready for this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids, headlines, things making the news and things not making the news right now coming at you on a Tuesday night. Here we go. A teacher suspended for harassing gays.
A gay hair salon.
Man breaks leg while having sex.
A little mini transgender.
You can be drunk on your own porch.
I want Caitlyn Jenner's heart ripped out. I don't, but somebody does.
Call 911. Somebody stole my pot.
I'm going to come out of the closet.
And American Airlines don't give a fuck. These and other stories coming at you right now on Headlines on Q Talk America.
Ha ha ha.
Oh, good gosh. Well, let's head right to the penis of America, ladies and gentlemen. We know it as Florida. A Florida teacher been suspended for 15 days without pay this week after an internal investigation found that she harassed her students about their sexuality and even outed one girl to her dad. Southside Middle School teacher Kelly Hendricks, Google her, Kelly Hendricks told WFOX-TV, that's W Fox for those of you who don't know how to spell, that she didn't understand why she'd been punished. She claims she only asked one student about his sexuality in order to help him combat classroom bullies.
And fight Satan.
And fight Satan. School officials launched the investigation into Hendricks's inappropriate behavior after fielding several complaints about it from various students. The public report found that on top of grilling students about their own sexuality, Hendricks also called them derogatory names like dumbass, gay, and retarded.
I have to say,
friend.
I found maybe just a little picture of her.
Oh, the pictures.
She may be one of those.
She may be Honey Boo Boo's aunt, is what I'm thinking.
Or one of the three words that she likes to throw around.
Could be. Hendricks defended herself in an interview with WFOX TV regarding the time that she quizzed a young boy about his own sexuality. She said, quote, I called the boy outside and I said to the boy, she's Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
I called the boy outside and I said, boy, what's going on? And he said, kids are calling me gay. And I looked at him and I said, well, are you gay, boy? Hendricks said, he said no. And I said, well, why does that bother you? Simply like that, she says. Jesus. On another occasion, Hendricks.
I like when we do voices.
It is more fun.
I like it when she goes, blah, blah, blah.
A falsetto child.
On another occasion, Hendricks asked the boy, how do you know you're not attracted to a female body? Hendricks also claimed that the girl who.
Because I've seen yours.
Because this is my example of female.
If you're my goal in life, this is bad. Hendricks also claimed the girl whom she outed filed a complaint against her in retaliation. She says, quote, I feel like I should do this in Foghorn Langhorn again.
I said,
I teach 165 children a year. They pull me out of the class because of one complaint. One complaint. I've been teaching 21 years. She said, I love it. And now it is over for me. Apparently, she has retired.
We went from Foghorn Leghorn to Kevin Spacey.
To Aunt Jemima.
No, to Kevin Spacey. I do like pancakes. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. That's where we went.
I said.
So.
I like it when she goes.
In Florida.
I've been practicing that all week.
I can't say it enough.
What?
When that movie comes on TV, I'm just in.
You have to watch it.
I have a DVD and VHS. No. Just stop what you're doing. Let's all just enjoy
just watch it.
It's a hell of a day at sea, sir.
A falsetto child. Oh, my God. Child.
Richard says, if that's what pussy looks like, then I'll stick to bacon.
See? Ooh, I do like bacon.
My thought was, can I just choke my own chicken?
Thank you, Drew. By the way, all celebrity voices are impersonated poorly. That's the disclaimer. Marty Ryer, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, a Welsh hair salon is making a powerful statement after a customer refused to let an employee cut his son's hair because he perceived the man to be gay.
I did read this.
And a
yes.
hair salon?
No! Yes!
Kale Supreme.
Come on.
Well, Kale Supreme.
I'll be damned.
I'm trying to use a phone.
I'm from Paris, Texas.
Russell Hughes, an openly gay man, runs Russell Paul Hairdressing, and it's in North Wales. He told the Daily Post that last week
a
man came in somewhere.
Okay.
Prestolin, North Wales is what it says. Prestatin.
North Wales, like England?
Prestatin. I can't.
United Kingdom.
It's European.
No, I think it is. I think that's our problem.
Yeah, I am.
It is European.
Anyway, a man came in with a son who appeared to be about 10 years old and asked Hughes if anyone was available to cut his son's hair. The owner asked his colleague, and Richard Evans was going to do that. The man came up to me at that point and said, I'm not being funny, but you just said that lad's going to cut my son's hair, to which I replied, yes. He then said, well, I assume he's gay, and I don't want him cutting my lad's hair, so could you do it?
Yep. We're in England.
Said, no.
He just said lad.
Yeah, I know, right? Which I said,
but Lassie
no,
over here will have one.
I'm gay as well. The man then stood up and immediately left. The incident left the staff at the hairdressing salon shaken, and Hughes decided to take action. In order to avoid future interactions with bigoted individuals, he installed a sign on the front of his store. If you are racist, sexist, homophobic, or an asshole, don't come in.
Agreed.
Well, I love it.
That's fair.
I'm going to put that on my front door here at the house. I think
I
should.
I love that. I was so shocked. You don't expect to be treated like that in this day and age. I've worked at the salon for 7 years, and I've never experienced anything like that. I think the new sign will make sure people like that don't come in here again. As the social climate changed, has changed for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, signs have become a useful way for businesses to declare
their
support.
So we get climate change, but the rest of the world doesn't?
Apparently. Earlier this year, the North Dakota coffee shop, I had done a thing on that, posted a sign that banned the state house representatives.
Oh, yes, I do recall that. Right.
Who voted to strike down the bill intended to protect LGBT community
right.
from discrimination, from patronizing the establishment. So it's kind of a good, you know, people are putting things up, and we've talked about our sign, open for business.
To everyone.
And how, I mean, I hate to drive a stereotype home without an Asian at the wheel, but
that's only for
should have seen that coming.
Yeah, that's only for pedicures.
Should have seen that one coming. Yeah. I mean, come on, a gay at a hair salon. Where are we supposed to work?
Can't swing a dead cat without hitting one.
They're touchy about the cat.
Oh, that's true.
It's better to swing a purse.
So, yeah. On fire, and that purse was on fire. That baton was on fire.
And that's the night the lights went out in Georgia.
And your children may someday know.
Yes.
Marjorie.
Thank God we've all seen the same three things.
Oh, yes.
That's funny.
Well, because I got my Welcome to Gay kit.
Yeah.
Yes. Toaster, Pop-Tarts.
I'm telling you, the Designing Women class 202 is tough.
It is tough.
It's a tough final.
It really is. Yep. It's really a lot to talk about there.
Did, Marty, did you wrap up your...
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, here we go.
Did you wrap up that homeowner hair salon?
She's like, you've shit on it enough. Carry on.
Yeah, we're good.
Well...
I love it. A boy walks into a hair salon with a 10-year-old. That's just going to go wrong. That's a Duggar dream.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Duggar's dream. That's the name of my new boat.
Oh my god!
I thought it was a new playland.
Oh, Christ!
That came out really wrong, but I'm standing by it.
I support you.
Float him if you got him. Well, it was a Texas man's third arrest for having sex with a horse.
Well, third time lucky.
No, that was the name of the horse.
Don't Google spunk. It. We've already learned. Don't do it.
Or Santorum.
Same animal.
Again, starting
shitty.
Starting at the top. It was a
take two. Go. Yeah.
Thank you. It was a Texas man's third arrest for having sex with a horse, and this time he paid for it in pain.
Ouch.
Cirillo Castillo Jr., who is 45, was arraigned last week after a February incident in which he allegedly broke his leg while trying to have sex with a horse.
It was hashtag his, doing it right.
It was his third arrest related to the sexual abuse of a horse since 2012. Oh, he's been busy.
Something.
Hidalgo County Sheriff's Deputy.
Hidalgo. Really? Hidalgo?
Hidalgo
is
County
the name of the
Sheriff's.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the county name.
I know, but it's also a famous horse.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, okay.
In a movie about a horse.
I got Secretariat and the Pharaoh that just won. That's all I got. Hidalgo County Sheriff's deputy said a barn owner called about 7 a.m. on February 17th to report an injured man in her barn. When officers arrived, the woman identified the injured man as Castillo and said that he had been previously arrested for having sex with her horses in the same barn. In those cases, Castillo was ordered to stay away from her barn indefinitely. The suspect told investigators that he had been struck by a car on the roadway and crawled all the way to the barn for shelter.
This little piggy went.
Investigators believe that he was trespassing in the barn in an attempt to have Unprotected sex with a horse.
Unprotected. What? Come on.
But was injured when the horse kicked him.
I think you can bareback that one.
The suspect was taken by ambulance to a local hospital and treated, according to the sheriff's report. But it wasn't until June 2nd that investigators drafted a warrant and arrested Castillo on charges of criminal trespassing. Now, if convicted, he could spend up to 180 days in jail, according to the McClellan Monitor newspaper. He was taken to the Hidalgo County Adult Detention Center and will have to pony up a $1,000 bond. Now, back in September 2013, Castillo received 5 years probation for animal cruelty after he was caught horsing around in the very same barn. Investigators said Castillo...
That's two puns. I can't let two go.
But I don't even write this shit. I lift it from the internet. Investigators say Castillo tied a horse named India to her corral and performed oral and vaginal sex on her, the paper reported. The police report did not mention whether the same horse was involved in the most recent incident. Now, Castillo's first arrest in connection with the horse sex happened back in 2012. He was sentenced to 270 days in jail for public lewdness.
Well, now, I've heard of them taking the reins, but not being arraigned. So I think that's, you know.
Good one, Marnie.
All right,
good.
No, do not encourage that.
How many more puns are we going to have? I say nay!
Till the horse comes. I mean,
why the long face, Mr. Castillo? Yeah.
Why the long face, Tori Spelling?
Well, she wasn't in a barn.
I gotta go.
She should have been. I know. Wow.
Richard, same horse shit. Yep.
Things that spiral down for 500, Jack.
Wait a minute, Richard, there's a video that shows what?
I know, I'm trying to post it to Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Tomo, I used to do voiceovers all the time. I started in radio doing character voices.
He lived in a radio once.
They believe it. I lived in a radio.
You spent 2 years saying I grew up in radio.
Yes, you did.
What else are we supposed to believe?
I grew up in radio, and then I moved to Phoenix and grew up a lot more in a gay bar.
There you go.
Boy, howdy.
Different song.
You can take the boy out of the box.
But you can't take the boy out of the box. Wait a minute.
What?
Strike that.
What happened? Put the boy back in the box. Boy in the box. Whose box is it, sir?
A boy, a boy, a boy. What was that again?
I like it when she goes, bah, 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 bah.
A delight.
I'm sure I have a lawyer.
I don't know.
I'm sure I have a lawyer.
Oh, that wig. She's not very nice to my wife.
I'm doing my best. Doing my best, Tomo.
Carry on, Mike.
So, Laverne Cox, Orange is the New Black, has gone into the third season, is out, and a lot of people have seen it. And if one more person puts spoiler alerts out there, I'm going to cry. Like, stop doing that. But Laverne Cox, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. A breakout star in Orange is the New Black, met a mini-me, a young transgender.
A little Cox, if you will.
A little Cox.
Stop
We've
it.
All met those. His name is Golf Pencil.
I like it.
Golf Pencil.
I like it.
Putt-putt.
As a breakout star of Orange is the New Black and the first transgender person to be nominated for an Emmy, Laverne Cox is arguably one of the most recognizable faces in the LGBT and especially trans community. She represents a lot of things to a lot of people. Times changing, a greater acceptance of others, and the broadening spectrum of faces represented in the entertainment we all consume. For one little girl, Laverne Cox is just one thing, someone like her. Mm. Em is a 7-year-old transgender girl. Her mother, Marlo Mack, writes about their experience in her blog as Gender Mom.
Everybody's got a fucking blog.
Mm.
You should get one.
She also has a podcast called How to Be a Girl.
Everybody's
in
got
a recent
podcast.
Post, she talks about this experience where Em met Laverne Cox. She admits her daughter is not familiar with the actress's work. Like, wouldn't 7-year-olds probably shouldn't be watching Orange is the New Black.
Probably not.
Not without the choke collar and the taser we were recommending earlier for parenting.
I mean, I believe in early education, but wow.
Wow.
The mom had shown her daughter the photo of Laverne Cox on the cover of Time when it came out last year.
Yeah.
I think it was. And so Em had a vague idea that this was someone important who was also transgender. But the mom doesn't think that she really got it until they showed up for the event. earlier this year, she was speaking at Laverne Cox was speaking at an event, and they went. Most of the speech went over the young girl's head, but
like it does.
But here's the message that I hope got through to them. Here's someone who is talented and smart and famous and loved by the multitudes, and she's also like you. Bless you. It was what happened after the speech that's special. Em and her mother were invited to a small reception following the speech where the little girl was on a mission to meet her hero. She staked out a place by the door, and like a seasoned professional, she waited. Laverne waved her Hollywood wave at the crowd, thanked everyone graciously. Very good. Well played.
Thank you.
And then looked
dramatic
down
reenactment
at the
of Hollywood wave. And then,
and then
time check 7:59.
She looked down at the little girl that was blocking her path, and she said, "Well, hello." And the little girl said, "I'm Em." Laverne smiled down at her. "Hello, Em. And I'm also trans," Em said. I don't think that Ms. Cox saw what was coming. The crowd around her gasped their approval. Did you hear what that little girl said? They were all kind of muttering. Laverne seemed a little bit at a loss, but it's what Cox did next that really touches your heart. As she bent down to hug Em, she said, "Remember, honey, transgender is beautiful." And just, you know, kind of embraced this little girl. And so they had this neat little meeting. Not planned, not, you know, nothing intended. To
organic, if you will.
Organic, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I just thought it was, as far as the picture, I don't know that I can...
Is it her walking out of into a lobby? Yeah. I've seen it. Yeah, it's a cute picture.
It really is.
And Laverne Cox is so fucking tall over... Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, wow.
It's a cute picture.
And always incredibly well-dressed. Do you want to do the crossover and then we'll come back and chat about this?
No, we're going to come back, yeah. No, we can. No, you want to finish that up?
Yeah, no, that was just, it was just a very sweet story. And I just thought, I figured there was a lot of really interesting things we could talk about. And I would just kind of go with the
The thing with that, like, and it's caught so me a couple important. Times before where, like, in Transparent, it's mm-hmm. someone who's not, it's Jeffrey Tambor playing a transitioning person. I got caught completely unawares by Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I truly thought they hit, like, Corky from That's Life or whatever it was called. I really thought he was disabled. I'd never heard of him before. And up until he
DiCaprio?
Sat there at the Oscars.
DiCaprio. Oh, yeah.
DiCaprio.
Everybody did. I did, too.
Until, even nominated for the Oscar until I saw him at the ceremony. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
I bought that hook, line, and sinker.
Mm-hmm.
So when they did,
I didn't realize that. Yeah, I didn't realize you bought it.
He
really was.
No, he did. He played that character.
I had never watched the TV show that he was on.
There's a movie
I saw,
by the way. There's a movie I saw. So you're welcome.
Oh, very good.
Growing Pains.
Nope, had never seen.
No,
it.
I know, but
yeah,
that was my
introduction to him, and I just thought, well, that's wonderful that they're celebrating this. You know, like the guy with no arms from the best years of our lives, who really has no arms. So I did not want to be caught off guard watching the first season of Orange is the New Black, and then I didn't realize it's his brother that plays, when they flash back to that character, Sophia, when they flash back to Sophia as a man, it's her brother playing the role.
Oh, I didn't know,
I've not seen it, sorry.
Right, because he's transitioned, he can't go back.
No,
and,
absolutely, but I just didn't realize it was his brother.
I just assumed good makeup tricks. I mean, honestly like, Hollywood can do all kinds of things.
I never wanted to say, like, I think this person might actually be transgender. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to be caught one more time with saying something like, "No, it's acting, asshole." But I was like, no. And then the whole thing, and I you know, they did the whole, the holding back the hormones and all these, the story, her storyline was so impressive that first year of, like, just opening up a dialogue that you don't think of if someone goes to prison and they've already transitioned into a woman and then you deny them their hormones, then where do you put them?
Yeah.
And now you have it was just this it's such an incredible show, and that
and
the
such
handling
a sympathetic,
of that
view of it, so that people could
and pointed
like not
empathize.
Empathize is the right word. Yeah,
it is definitely the right word.
Not sympathize.
Right, exactly.
You know,
empathy.
That's
is,
why I was like, wait a minute.
You're right. You always aim for empathy, not sympathy.
Yes. So it was, but to write it the way that they did, so that people could be.
And I was, like, and exactly, and I say it all the time, because I'm always so, like, I'm not prepared for the T part of the alphabet that we have to identify with. Anytime somebody shines a light on it, I'm so grateful, because I'm like, well, I never thought about
Didn't
that.
Know,
what,
right.
are they, what are they doing there? Were they doing the prison population?
Well, and how many people were up in arms about this because it's a 7-year-old. And looking at it and saying, oh, they don't know yet, and trying to go through all of this with age. I mean, that's a really big deal.
But all you can do is tell
right
someone
now.
At any point you're beautiful. That's the right
that's
thing right. to
yes.
say.
That's always exactly the right
whatever
answer,
you
correct.
Decide yes. to be, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're
that's
important.
Right.
I mean,
that's
it's right. as much as we have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just, and if in 3 years they change their mind, they're still beautiful.
Yeah, you're
absolutely.
Still beautiful.
Right. Absolutely. That's
all right.
Right,
kids, you've done it. You've more than wasted an hour, our first hour of tonight's show.
If you decide you're black tomorrow, go ahead.
You can work for the NAACP.
We'll
all right, we got a couple more headlines coming up and more. So here we go.
The show on Hume Talk America. This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. We are beginning what we call hour two. You call the midsection of the hostage situation. We're coming to you live from Studio C. We do it every Tuesday when we are here and available to do it. Thank you for joining us. My name is Clayton McKee. I sit here alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. We bring to you an asundry of shit.
For real.
On a Tuesday night. And some
that's not a word.
And some of you even like it. Again, Richard, Jenny, Tomo, Drew.
Harrison, Brandon.
Harrison, so many people in the chat room. I had somebody send me a message earlier in the week wanting me to promote something locally. And my pushback on that was, we're really not a local show anymore. We are so much more listened to from Canada.
I don't think anybody
India,
nearby listens to
and,
us.
I'm finding that local listeners kind of roll their eyes because they know at least one of us.
Right. They're like, yeah, whatever.
And they're like,
yeah, more are you.
Shut the fuck up.
More are you talking.
Aaron and Cozy.
Yeah,
sometimes.
We don't need.
Oh, yeah. Cozy listens on the regular. Yeah. She doesn't chat room, but Cozy listens on the regular.
I think
she'll
come. We don't need to hear anything else you're already saying in the already. Yeah, you're right. You're talking more?
Because we've tried these jokes out on other people before we come to the show half the time. So
they bomb there, too.
Yeah, crazy. So before we get to any more of our headlines, we got to get this out of the way. We call it the drinking disclaimer because the drinking game starts at the beginning of hour two.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Our word for tonight is spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert.
So I'm gonna try and do two movie reviews without giving too many spoilers.
Is there any other incarnation of spoiler alert that we can use?
I'll go with spoiler, in case you're just going to ruin it and not alert people.
Oh.
We'll even go with alert if you just want to tell us about your breaking news.
The world needs
Titanic
more.
Titanic spoiler.
The world
the
needs
sinks.
More alerts. Right. That's good. Right. That's good to know.
Titanic spoiler. Rose, let's go.
Yeah. And Thailand is listening. So Thailand, please join us in the chat room. Find us.
Thailand has been listening for over 2 hours. They started with another a previously recorded show.
In Thailand, and we're live now.
Suffered through the transition, and now we are live. So whoever's in Thailand, yeah, I encourage
you. Well, and
join us in the chat room.
Thanks, Thailand. Otherwise, they may have just left the room.
They could have.
You don't know.
They could have got bored. Yeah. I get it.
Came up in a pop-up window.
Did you have an additional follow-up in regards to the previous story?
Well, spoiler alert, talking about transgendered.
Yes.
There's that conversation we keep having about women in media, in film and television.
Entertainment.
And I really just think the bar has been set so high now by Orange is the New Black. And spoiler alert, I have not seen one episode. I didn't realize it started this Friday while I was away, where I would have spent my airport time more constructively watching that.
Certainly.
Sure. that the fact that they got to so many roles for women and they're so well-rounded, and as time goes on, each character gets more rich and more, like...
And you get, and like, every episode, you get background on a new character.
And the one that's the driver. Please, somebody help me with the driver's name. Oh. One that drives the car.
Morello.
Yeah. Her background story...
Oh, my God, that one blew my mind. I was
devastating.
Like,
that was a devastating, devastating episode of television. Yeah. I was profoundly
stunned,
moved.
Yeah.
But that we could get that many different... sexualities, races, types, kinds, whatever you want to call it.
That's in there,
and then to be so inclusive of all these women, and then to include a transgendered woman and do it so beautifully, what I thought was beautifully.
I agree.
And, you know, because it was about this is the stupid white woman story of whatever her butt is. The only character I don't
like. We hate her. No, yeah.
I really, everyone... I just honestly cannot take her.
Every time they go into her backstory, I fall asleep a
little
bit.
And I almost didn't watch it till I realized, and somebody helped me with the name, what her name is.
Piper?
The creator of the show.
Oh, I think it's still Piper.
Genghis Khan.
Oh,
the creator of the
not
show.
Not the writer
because
of the
she
book.
Did Weeds.
Yes.
And the reason I hung on till episode two was Weeds.
Okay.
Because Weeds was so well done.
Sure.
I mean, there was one bad season out of seven, but mostly it was just
are you looking for Jenji Kohan?
Yeah, Jenji Kohan. She's the one that took it. And as soon as you read her name, you're like, just hang tight for a minute or two. Like, there's going to be some bumps
Weeds
in the road.
Weeds was such a fun ride.
Oh, and Elizabeth
I mean, it lost
Perkins.
Me towards the end, but yeah.
But it came back, and then you needed to come back, and yeah,
I still need to.
I'll add that to the list of. Let me add that to my list of entertainment. Spoiler alert, entertainment's coming up.
Hooray!
All right, but not after
the next headline.
Your headline. What's your name?
Is that me?
McKee.
I think it's my turn.
Yeah,
I think it is. Here we go. Well, the Iowa Supreme Court has affirmed the right to be drunk on your own front porch.
Well,
thank
praise
God.
Him. Praise him.
Now, the court ruled on Friday in the case of Patience Pay, who appealed her 2013 public intoxication conviction. Pay called police after fighting with her boyfriend, who met officers on the front porch of her Waterloo home. While investigating the domestic assault complaint, an officer questioned Pay about whether or not she had been drinking. A test revealed her BAC, or blood alcohol concentration, at a 2.267%. More than
still not as high as Diana Ross. Spoiler alert, Diana Ross was drunker.
I'll take a drink of water. That was more than three times the amount considered for drunk driving. Now, she was charged and convicted, but she appealed, saying that her front porch is not a public place. And I agree.
I agree.
The Supreme Court agreed, declaring the front steps of a private residence not a public place if the homeowner has not invited the general public to be there. So good for her.
Let's just say if it's my front porch, the general public.
I make it a rule to not invite the general
public. If it's my house, like four people, max. Seven.
I know this is kind of pushing it for you. I understand.
Yeah, this is. Sorry. Yeah, I don't like. What?
I just like. Spoiler alert, people are drinking rum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm drinking tequila tonight. I'm doing the. I'm trying to wrap
Look
up that
you.
Margarita shit we got in my fridge.
You mean it's called tequila, not margarita shit. It has a name, goddamn.
No,
damn
but
it.
There's the tequila and the margarita
Jeb,
mix.
You spoke Spanish so beautifully earlier.
Oh, really? Don't pay no attention to my last name, only my first name.
Jeb.
Barney Ryer. I'm going to make a cocktail. You talk
All
about
right.
something funny.
Well, yes.
yep.
I don't know funny.
Technology's not your friend.
No, it's really not. I'm trying to find... I have it on my phone.
I was just thinking, I hope it's as funny as that one funny story with the axe.
No, because I said that this one wasn't
where
funny.
Everybody
I
was dead.
That one was funny. God damn, I still think that one was funny.
So did we somehow.
It's fucking funny is what it is.
Do we need a topic?
So, no. Okay. So, an Arizona pastor that we've talked about before.
Oh, fucktard, yeah.
Really, really takes me to a whole new level.
Spoiler alert, okay. He's a fucktard.
Right.
Spoiler alert, really, really, really big fucktard.
Does he have a name?
Yes, his name is Steven Anderson. He was the one who had come out predicting an AIDS-free Christmas if all LGBT people were put to death. Do you remember
Pastor
we talked
Anderson,
about that?
We sure did.
Yeah.
He did.
Fucking twat waffle. So... Well, he really is. My God.
I said
you're
twat
a
waffle.
Twat waffle. I didn't even try to go...
No, I said
What's that cock's name? Foghorn Leghorn.
Laverne.
Judges. Both answers acceptable.
Well,
we'll allow it.
Spoiler alert. Two answers.
Okay, go.
Now this fucking idiot has said that he has prayed for God to rip out the heart of Caitlyn Jenner and cast her soul into the fiery depths of hell. The fact that people go and sit in his
That's not how any of this works.
I unfriend you.
Such a good call. I wish we could just undo the fact that this guy's out there and that people actually pay attention and maybe listen to him. He had done this praying for the deaths of friends. He says it's not a bad thing. You can do that and the deaths of your enemies, like he had done for Barack Obama. He preached last Sunday that he had seen Jenner's filthy sodomite picture everywhere after the Olympic athlete and reality TV star.
I should have opened the magazine. I didn't realize it was a sodomite picture.
Oh, for real. Was, I saw it in Fry's today, in fact.
With a great rack.
He says, I've never even heard of him until this week. Really?
Really.
Bruce Jenner has basically mutilated his body, apparently. And he's being praised by our president. Our president is praising him. Duh.
Yeah. We got it the first way.
Or praising her.
Thank you,
We
George
don't even
w.
know what it is, he says. God, what a fucking moron. I think that Obama used the female pronoun about somebody named Bruce. I want to just kick this guy right in the fucking nuts. I can't.
We can drive there.
Him. See, we sure
should. I mean, when I'm sober.
Right.
Spoiler alert. Drinking now.
Right now. Right. He said the president was praising the wicked. And he said this trans freak was being crammed down the throat of literally hundreds of millions.
That costs extra, I found out.
I heard that. Yeah, you had to hear that.
Gently says, placing it in the throat, $5. Yes. Cramming it down the throat, $55.
And the Christian, like Jenny said, he's not a very good Christian. And that's the problem, is when people stand, as we've said, behind the Christianity. Another hanger. Yeah,
No.
The hanger mess.
Right, it's an abortion joke.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I didn't want to walk you through it.
No.
Give me your hand, honey.
Spoiler alert.
I'm going to walk you through an abortion
Spoiler
joke.
Spoiler alert, I get it. Listen to me. He says, I hate him with a perfect hatred. That's his line. I hate him with a perfect hatred. I have no love for this Bruce freak. I hope he dies today. I hope he dies and he goes to hell. He's disgusting. He's filthy. He's reprobate.
See, here's the thing. It's people like this that I always wonder, from our esteemed platform here, like, should we be giving them the time of day, or should we just roll it up and stop giving them airtime?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we've given this man...
you have to find out, like, that's... Ooh. Somebody might listen that's like, that's my neighbor goes to church. Like,
yes. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I'm with you. The Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff. I just think it's that
you do have to call... You do have to call them out. I have a friend that's always like, well, if you give them attention... Yeah, but you do have to... Because there are people that quietly listen. They're like,
yes.
Oh, this guy, he speaks the truth.
Right.
And then if they hear someone else of like, no, you're an asshole if you believe this guy, they're like, oh, I never thought of that angle. You know what I mean? If you don't point it out.
A new perspective for perhaps someone.
Yeah, and the fact that he said the Bible had called for gays to be stoned with stones. No, he did. It does not. It does not. So stop. Stop with the bullshit that you just spew. You know, He has these people in his audience that are kind of that he's molding, you know, and that's where with what Al is saying, the fact that, you know, we don't know who is
in that congregation
or who is just hanging out listening right here that might be like, oh, it's so, you know,
it's kind of like when you find that person that's like, mom likes Fox News. Well, is someone going to tell her that she's watching like the Idiot Box?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Because she's sitting there thinking, well, it's on the TV. It's a news channel.
Right.
But if somebody doesn't tell her,
somebody has to say, mom, there's other news out there. Let's look at something else.
And that kind of rant or of hatred is the thing that underlyingly, so that everybody can kind of just get the idea that this stuff is out there. And but, you know, any kind of buying into it goes back to what we talked about. I think it was last week with.
I screamed about the Tonys last week.
No, the
or just screamed
the
in general.
Cults. Was it last week or the week before? About
spoiler
cults.
Alert.
Yeah,
we talk about cults kind of a lot.
I feel like it's a recurring theme. We were really on a kind of a tangent about it, and this.
I think we were too drunk for cults last week.
This,
so I think it must
to
have been
me, fits
weeks.
Into cult.
No, it does. Oh, it most definitely does.
If you're willing
to follow someone this stupid into the afterlife, you're in a cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because seriously, do you really
look around
hang out
you?
With this
you're,
fucking
you're in a cult
for the rest of no. God, being here with him is bad enough.
Yeah.
I hate this guy with the perfect hatred. Like, what a fucking moron.
I get my whole afterlife thing now. I mean, I believe in ghosts. Pretty clear on the believing in ghosts.
Delivery is very important. I get my whole... There was a pause. What now? You get what?
I get my whole, like,
thank you.
Thoughts on life and the afterlife. I mean, I believe in ghosts, but I go with Lost. Dead is dead. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that struck me as so profound. Sure. But
that's always, that really is always in my thought.
And in my profession, too, like, I say that under my breath more than I say it out loud, unfortunately. But dead is dead. Like, you're dead. Sorry. Sure. It's over. I do believe in ghosts firmly and completely. I don't know where that fits into the whole spirituality
thing. That's a little jacked.
I believe, and it's only because I've seen a ghost. You know what I mean? Like, I can actually say because I have seen a ghost, I have to believe in them. I don't know where they fit into the broad spectrum of life or where they're habitating. They certainly did not tell me about where they were. I just saw them, felt them, you know, a couple senses were involved, smelled one.
That's weird.
Wow, that
could have been the liquor.
I say.
I feel like you should not go around smelling ghosts in polite company.
It's probably a good idea to not breathe deeply when you're in the presence of the spirit.
Wow.
No, but I really do believe it. Dead is dead.
That's my theory
ain't
as well.
Coming back.
It's my theory as well.
Ain't coming back.
And if I am, it just has to be thinner.
All right, carrying on. Authorities say a South Florida woman who called 911 to report that she was getting stiffed in a drug deal.
Good times.
Ended up actually reporting on herself. She now faces charges including drug possession. The Broward Sheriff's Office reports that a 19-year-old, Danisha Heller, told a 911 operator Tuesday that she went to a Fort Lauderdale home to buy marijuana, but a man there took her $5 without giving her anything.
I'm a well-known prostitute.
Officials say a deputy checked a white substance in Heller.
Did she have a coupon?
A Groupon.
3209.
3209.
Officials say a deputy checked a white substance in Heller's pocket, which tested positive for alpha PVP, a psychosis-inducing drug, also known as Flaka. F-L-A-K-K-A. Flaka? Flika? Whatever.
Also a character on Orange is the New Black.
Oh. Wow.
Flaka. Flika.
The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports...
No, that's a horse.
Spoiler alert. Flika. I flicked the horse.
The South Florida... blah, 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 blah. I'm going to try this again. The South Florida Sun Sentinel reports that Heller was charged with drug possession and misusing the 911 system. Jail records show Heller was in custody without bond for violating the terms of her release on an unrelated misdemeanor battery charge. Jail records did not list an attorney who could be contacted for comment on her case.
Oh. No attorney on record. Huh?
$5?
I know how much pot are you getting?
Like 2 hits? But I don't know.
This story was written in 1976.
But I don't know what.
I mean,
a dime bag is no longer a dime, obviously, but that's just a phrase that you use.
I think it's 100.
Is that what it is?
I think they may have just.
I have no idea what these.
Over. Metric system.
I have Yeah. Ooh. Double it and add 30. It's metric.
That's fancy.
I don't. But I have no idea what that actually equates to. A dime bag is what?
I believe it's $100 now. Granted, I was shown no love in Colorado.
How much is it? I don't know how much.
Depends on the going rate.
What are you buying?
Whatever $100.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Whatever $100 to buy.
If
usually,
anybody,
again, metric. I think drugs are usually sold in grams.
Pot's not.
No, pot is ounces and pounds. That's true.
Yeah, they've stayed American.
Thank God you two are here.
Seriously.
They've stayed on the American system. I only believe in American drugs.
Okay.
I'm a well-known prostitute. Just for my $20.
Ryer, your final story.
All right, my final story.
Spoiler alert, it's your last story.
Spoiler alert.
A teenager comes out of the closet in a senior yearbook quote, and the internet applauds him. This was wonderful.
I have not read the quote yet. Spoiler alert.
Take a moment to look at Maxwell Barrett's completely perfect senior yearbook quote. He's a handsome little gentleman. The other quotes they say don't stand a chance between his. So it says, "Of course I dress well. I didn't spend all that time in the closet for nothing." And he came out of the closet.
Good work.
Nicely done.
Yes. How great is that? It says, "I want to high-five him through the internet." Then again, in person, then again metaphorically, by writing this article. It's thoughtful, funny teenagers like Maxwell Barrett that make me hopeful for future generations and less afraid of teenagers as a species. The class of 2015 have been making some serious waves with their witty yearbook quotes, and this one is certainly a top contender. If you take a look at it, you'll see this quote has been covered by a ton of news outlets, and he's receiving a huge outcry of support. He told Today, I am in awe. I cannot express how amazing it is to see the amount of support I am being given and the love that has been shown towards me. I cannot wrap my head around the fact that people from all different backgrounds are being inspired by my story. It's so wonderful that this teenager came out of the closet to find it's much brighter on the other side. Since becoming internet famous, Maxwell's tweets have been on point. There were three. Imagine, Gaga has seen this picture of my quote. I think I'd have heart palpitations. And he put, when I look through my yearbook in 30 years, that quote is going to make the best story ever. Mm-hmm. And he's just a wonderful young man. And he's really a cutie. Did you see him?
I did.
Let me see the picture again.
I did. I saw the story.
It should pop up a little bit more. But
yeah. Adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. Cute kid.
He's a good looking kid. And he's just proof. And I just thought that was fantastic, because you go through and you're reading all of that, and, well, I didn't spend all the time in that closet for nothing, you know, so it was wonderful.
That's so fun.
Good on him, and hopefully he has a continued happy little life.
Good on him. To circle back with some factual knowledge here.
Spoiler alert, she's circling back.
Wait, we're going to have facts on this this show?
From UrbanDictionary.com, so take
it. Oh, all right. All right.
Fair enough.
Dimebag is a general term for $10 worth of weed.
Oh.
Back in the day, a quarter of an ounce, approximately 7 grams.
What day was that?
Only cost, I don't know, the day, back then.
1984.
I would say 70s.
I would say so too.
I'm going to go with 1984.
1984, there you go. Quarter of an ounce,
spoiler alert,
approximately 7 grams, only cost $10. An eighth costing $5. thus the terms nickel, dime, and nickel bag and dime bag. Some circles still refer to the quarter ounce as a dime bag.
Okay.
Although the price is considerably higher.
Changed.
Now, someone had Jenny, sorry, I don't mean to out you, but she has a menu from the medical Mary Jane store, as we'll call it.
That is legit. I'm in.
And then she says they deliver.
Can I have a dime bag of the purple haze and then a number two?
The Girl Scout cookie for being.
And then I'm going to need a large thin crust with extra sauce and pineapple. Thank you very much. Oh.
Harrison says she has a fringe magnet that says don't come out of the closet until you have something fabulous to wear.
That's wonderful. I like that.
Due to timing, circumstances, and polyester, I was not able to abide by that rule.
Now you have a lot of fabulous to wear.
I kind of backdated around.
That's wonderful, Harrison.
People may remember photos of me this week that surfaced wearing tube socks.
Oh, yes.
And what can only be described
as a campfire?
Neon blue sneakers.
Yes.
The campfire picture I saw?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, in that...
In my defense.
No. Tube socks will remain indefensible.
Especially up to your knees.
If they ever bring back the Nuremberg trials, that'll be on there.
Okay.
Just crimes against humanity. Spoiler alert, they're a crime against humanity. I do have to say that Kiri Beach t-shirt, the ringer tee with Kiri Beach with a palm tree. Mm-hmm. There are no palm trees on that coast, I don't think, that I remember. That Kiri Beach palm tree, I wore that. And seriously, the day that I found it in the rag bag, I don't know if other families do this, that when your t-shirts get old, you make a rag bag and that's what you clean the house with.
They serve
a purpose, then you throw them away. It was kind of repurposing something.
Yes.
The day that I saw that filthy garment in the rag bag, I cried and held it up to my mother, and she's like, all right, put it on.
And did you?
No. It was disgusting.
Oh.
But I wore that thing out. And the fact that there's photographic memory of my favorite t-shirt as a child. I wore a Charlie Tuna bathing suit and a Kiri Beach t-shirt for long after.
There are so many puns.
Threadbare.
Sorry, Charlie.
Sorry, Charlie. Only the backside's getting bigger.
Oh, my gosh. All right, in our final story in the actual headline section.
Well, luckily, Harrison says it was the 8th grade. Luckily, I can claim it was the 5th grade.
Age Summer. Is just a number.
God, that's great.
Right.
My favorite headline of the week is this one. American Airlines doesn't give a fuck if homophobes don't like their LGBT support. American Airlines is once again showing their support for LGBT Pride Month by changing their Twitter avatar to a rainbow flag logo, which I will put up on our video feed. If you haven't seen this, that is what it looks like. It is their rainbow flag with their logo. Nathan Lorick, Director of Evangelism.
J'approuve.
Director of Evangelism for the Southern Baptists of Texas Convention sent a tweet to American Airlines on Sunday night to complain about the airline's delays, writing, "Flying American Air without delay is highly unlikely, always delayed. One reason I have not flown them nearly as much in this year." Now, American Airlines responded to his tweet saying, "At Nathan Lorick, we're sorry for the delay, Nathan. We see, however, that you are on your way. We will have you home shortly." Now, when Lorick apparently noticed that the company had a rainbow flag in their Twitter avatar, he tweeted back asking, "At American Air, what's the deal with the rainbow-colored image?" They tweeted back, "At Nathan Lorick, June is Pride Month across the globe, and we are proud to support our LGBT community and its allies." Well, American Airlines explained that they changed their avatar, obviously, for Pride Month. I get all that. Now, Lorick fired back again, saying, "At American Air, seems like a poor choice from a company that certainly has many customers who do not agree with their lifestyle. Hashtag disappointed." Now, proving that they don't give a fuck what homophobes think about their support for LGBT people, American Airlines fired back with this simple message, "At Nathan Lorick, we're sorry for your disappointment."
Oh, that's
and
great.
I love it. Yeah. I need to tomorrow sign up for whatever rewards program, point system, frequent flyer, American Airlines. Good. I am on board for that. Sorry you're upset. Not sorry.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, except for the time that they left me in Mexico without a prayer.
That was before they supported your people.
That's right.
Right, right.
And before you jump on every bandwagon of every company that puts out a rainbow logo, I was just reading an article today, and I forgot to bookmark it, or I would go find it, but I can't find it, about there are companies that will slap some rainbow shit on there just hoping that you'll sign up for this, especially being Pride Month.
Sure. No, and I agree with you. It's all about the dollar. They're looking for gay dollars because they know that a lot of gays, not all, have disposable income that they're just willing to throw around.
Sure. But don't believe that they're on your side just because Adidas put out rainbow sneakers. You know, Adidas didn't always have the greatest human rights ratings.
And Coors Beer, another one that you just were in their brewery.
And you have to support them because they were the first person to cave to gay pressure back in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah, when they were dumping out all the Coors Beer from all the gay bars.
Yeah.
Well, and that was a union thing. That was a union issue. Another time where the gays came to the support of another group that then turned on them a little bit, but first they worked with them. But if you don't know the story of Coors, Coors was trying to stop unions in their, I can't remember if it was distribution or where in the Coors family they were trying to get rid of unions. And so unions were trying to get bars to stop carrying Coors. So gay bars were the ones that jumped on the bandwagon in support and in solidarity with the unions. Right. And when the unions found out, unions got on board with gay rights, and that's how in San Francisco.
That was during the whole Harvey Milk.
The Harvey Milk thing, and again, because that documentary was not really about Harvey Milk, they had to cover all those other things.
Sure.
And the union people were like, "Oh, when the gays get pissed off, they band together like a pack of wolves. They
we can fuck up some shit.
They boycott in a pack, and they were so impressed. And if you've seen the movie Pride from last year, which was nominated for a Golden Globe." It's fabulous. Yeah. I hate to go to a gay word, but spoiler alert, gay.
Fabulous.
Spoiler alert, very.
Richard, if you've watched the show for the last, 20 years, I've been wearing Old Navy since about 1995.
Yeah.
It is Old Navy.
Because they don't put their names on anything. Yep. They are label free. You never know
you
I'm wearing
them.
It's
label
It's right
free.
Here.
Yes.
It's right here behind your neck. That's it.
Yeah. You will never know that's all I wear is Old Navy. Constantly, every single thing
and
is Old Navy.
An interesting color. It's like a sherbet almost.
I like that.
This is sea foam. Seriously, he loses all gay points. So anyways, Pride is about...
I just spent 48 hours with transsexuals in a pageant.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm gay points
you got your,
over.
You got your you're full right. up
yeah,
on
you,
the gay.
You, spoiler alert, you may be gayer than
yeah.
me. This
yeah. Sam's Club should give me a discount on gas at this point. I mean, Jesus.
I don't know what you're doing with a nozzle in that story.
Hey.
So anyways, in Pride, one of the gay guys is trying to find something... They want to do something with their money, and the miners are on strike because the whole world hates Margaret Thatcher because she was a fucking cunt,
mm-hmm.
like Ronald Reagan, but without the Alzheimer's. She was aware of what she was doing in cunty. And so one of the gay guys decides to start raising money for the striking miners, and the miners in England have to make their peace with the fact that there are gays supporting them.
Them.
And the town has to make its peace with... They're a Catholic town. They're.
We've talked about this several times on the show.
And I can't remember. I get all the religions in England confused. I can't remember if they're.
They're all a cult.
If they're.
Church of England.
Church of England, or if they're Protestant, or where they fall in the Irish
whatever.
Catholic thing. But they have to make their peace with it, with the fact that they're getting their money from gays and the friendships that developed, and why the gay cause was furthered because the unions then fell in line with the gays and supported them right back and got gay rights almost immediately.
Sure.
Which, oh, it is not lime green. Richard, turn off your TV immediately and start
not
just listening.
Kind of,
yeah. Adjust your monitor, sir.
I'm going to try to adjust that camera to see if I get a bigger, better.
This is neither lime nor Kelly green. Spoiler alert.
Nope,
I wear pastels because I think I'm tan.
Oddly, it is a medium,
because in my mind, I'm tan.
It is a
and
medium.
And it's 1984.
it's
a medium. God bless both of you.
That, I'm just lying. I'm just saying.
So there you go.
I like it. Whoa.
So what next?
So much
spoiler alert, he's doing something else.
So it should be.
No, that's the end of all
of that.
God damn it, that makes me laugh. We're done with headlines. It's 8:35. Thank you for suffering through all of that. It's time to go to Al Perkins, who has absolutely nothing prepared.
Entertainment! I'm not on the right page for this, but I never am.
No so, shit.
Veep had a season finale, and we have a little math about that.
I have some Veep. I have an input on that.
Nurse Jackie is coming to a very good end. True Detective is coming up. I have a couple movie reviews, and then a couple updates from web pages that I should be on or was on at one point.
Oh,
sorry.
And that's entertainment.
Oh my god!
I'm riveted.
Aren't you? Aren't you though?
Yeah, it was my delivery. So
flawless.
I heard a Foo Fighter quit, so I don't know which Foo Fighter
was it. The one that broke his leg. Yeah,
Dave
so
Roll.
He quit.
He
but
quit?
He's the
Wait,
main Foo Fighter.
He could not have
what
quit.
The fuck
he could have quit. I got that story from my sister. So let's just.
He cannot
went back out on stage and like was playing
for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
He cannot have quit.
I got that story from my sister. So let's just.
I like how
put
we're chastising Al like a motherfucker. Like he's the end all story source. He can't even figure out other things.
My sister can't watch movies that have more than two characters because she finds the plot too confusing.
What did happen, though, is that Dave Grohl is the baddest motherfucker in the world because he did fall off stage,
right?
Broke his motherfucking leg, took a minute and said, no, I'm good. Somebody come here and like wrap this up and continue to play the rest of his set.
Yes, did the whole
with
set.
With a broken leg
on
stage.
Yeah. Was it his tibia that he broke?
Or fibia.
I thought I read that.
Stand by, I don't know.
Oh, somewhere.
Sure enough, broke his leg 2.5 hours.
Blah, blah, blah. Rhymes with Gibby.
Well, she says it's
probably. I saw the picture. I saw that picture. That's the x-ray.
That one right there?
Scroll up. I saw that.
The x-ray?
Yeah, I saw that.
Broke the little one of the two bones. Which one's that?
It's a fibia or a tibia.
Well, show Al.
Well, which one's the little one?
Al works in a restaurant.
Tibia is the little
one. That one.
Because the fibia
is that above the knee
one.
Or is that above
post-tibial,
the ankle?
Tibial, sure, so that'd have to be the fibia. I don't know.
Nobody
Jesus, you're what helping
you? I think it's the tibia. Go ahead and flip.
Anyway,
I'm not the leg bone.
Read the story.
He broke the leg bone.
So, anyways, that came from my sister. So I just want to let you
so
know.
Do we have to give her credit as a contributing editor?
We do, but she just got fired. So
which sister is this?
Debbie, the one who knows nothing.
Oh, I know Debbie. I met her.
Did she?
God bless her. But
Debbie Perkins
fired.
Fired.
Your last paycheck will be the same as your first.
It was a lie.
Oh, Debbie Perkins.
Yeah, there's no news for him quitting.
No.
I may call this whole show Debbie Perkins fired.
That is...
That's funny shit.
That's, spoiler alert, Debbie Perkins got fired today.
Yeah. We could have Donald Trump announce it.
Yes. Shit.
All right. So let me see. So
he quit smoking pot like a year ago.
Maybe
because
that's
of the Kardashians.
Yes,
that,
okay. Who? David?
Dave Grohl.
Oh, Dave Grohl?
Well, that's what this headline
Jesus
says.
Jesus Christ, and now my computer just crashed.
Dave Grohl reveals the Kardashians made him quit smoking pot. Well, I'm going to click on it. We're going to read it so he can reboot his show.
All right, go ahead.
I'm on board for that. How long has it been since you've rebooted that? Like, completely restarted?
No, it's a
experts agree that a pivotal moment for getting off drugs is hitting rock bottom. For some, that means getting divorced. But rock bottom is different for everybody. In Dave Grohl's case, it was finding himself watching the Kardashians that convinced the Foo Fighters frontman to quit smoking pot. That does sound like rock bottom to me. Like, if you ever find me on my couch, like, binge watching the Kardashians, just whatever I'm on, just...
Oh, kill me.
Take me to... make me go to rehab.
And then you should probably shoot my drug dealer, too, if that's what that drug led to. Whatever
and
I was
doing... You
know
how you can find his drug dealer? There's
that's
a receipt.
Okay,
he has a receipt.
I do keep proper bookkeeping.
You and Whitney. You and Whitney.
So I just laughed because my sister, who gets every
still
story
dead.
Wrong,
love
my,
it.
My niece does. She's been doing makeup for movies.
That's fun.
She's on like her third or fourth movie of doing makeup and hair. And I'll ask my sister, I'm like, what's the movie about? Oh, I don't fucking know. But she'll tell you what they had at the food table because all she cares about
the
is
craft
what
services.
Right.
Craft services.
I'm like, your niece is making a movie. Ask pertinent questions. She pisses me off.
You need to text more with your niece.
No, I did. So I have the trailer.
Take Debbie out of this.
Oh, yeah, we had to. All right. But I got the trailer for the movie and it looks really good. It comes out in October. It's a horror movie. That's when she did it because she likes prosthetic makeup.
Okay.
So I sit down at breakfast with my sister the other day at the hotel, and she tells me the Foo Fighters, somebody left the Foo Fighters. And I just like filed it in the back of my brain and was like, all right.
Falling off stage equates to leaving Foo Fighters.
No, but then the top story on EW's headlines is Foo Fighters canceled June tour date. So I didn't open it. I went with stupid piece of information I had over coffee and a bagel mixed with this headline. Right.
Making the leap. Like,
yes,
you
yes.
put the bridge over troubled waters.
Yes.
Oh, and how troubled
when
the waters
when
were.
Your waters were not
alert,
troubled.
Dunk canoe here.
When you're weary.
So anyways.
Or down and out.
Information using sparingly.
Penny Dreadful got renewed for season 3. I am not caught up on season 2 in any way, shape, or form.
I need to write that down.
Very sad.
Isn't that a Showtime thing, though?
It is. And it's kind of sexy. It's got that Ava Green that everybody's into that I do not understand her appeal. And it's supposed to be all of your gothic characters, your Frankensteins, your Dorian Grays, your Jack the Rippers, all mixed into one story. And that sexy beast, what the hell is his name? Josh Hartnett.
Love him. He's been around for a while.
Oh, but he's in this, and he is sick.
Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, yeah. He's in every bad movie you've ever seen.
Before he's in a couple things. Yeah,
40 days, 40 nights.
40 days, 40 nights.
The one where he has an erection during it, and you're just hoping it's that big. Please God. Spoiler alert.
I heard that wrong.
God.
I thought it was a Freddie Fender song. Wasted days and wasted nights.
Well, he was wasting them because he wasn't pumping it into me.
Spoiler alert.
So, there's that.
Out of control.
In really strange news, and as a two-time addict and two-time on the wagon person, and it is killing me that I cannot, despite what ABC is telling me, I am unable to.
What is wrong with you?
Luke is leaving General Hospital.
Yes,
again.
First time ever, he has never attempted to leave.
Not since the 70s?
He's the longest running character on daytime television ever. He's never left. He just won his, like, I think now he's the biggest winner in Emmy history, too.
I didn't even know General Hospital was still on.
It's the only ABC soap still left because of their... So he's leaving. They brought back Laura, and I said, nay, I shan't. I shall not. Mm-hmm. Conjugate that however you want to. But now Jonathan Jackson, who played Lucky, is coming back. And I, in my second addiction... And the rehab was hard
Are you back, Carly? Are you back off the wagon?
No, I can't do it. But if somebody's watching, please send me tapes or give me updates
send me tapes?
Oh, yeah, send me whatever you got to. I will find a VCR to get that heroin in the veins.
I'm pretty sure my grandma's probably still taping it.
I have two.
All right, please send your tapes and self-addressed.
I do not have a beta, so I just have VHS.
Aaron, I understand that Josh Hartnett has the acting abilities of Patrick Swayze when he was alive, where he was either happy or constipated. And you had to decide what Patrick Swayze's inability to poop meant. Sad,
I'm gonna just Google
confused.
Josh
about to start a fight in a roadhouse.
He's a cutie.
I'm gonna Google Josh Hartnett again just to remind myself.
He's cute.
He's got the skin of an angel, and I just cannot express that enough. Like every time Josh you see him on the big screen, that skin. Hmm. You know how I am with skin. I'm kind of like the Silence of the Lambs with that shit. Right.
She puts the lotion.
Oh, and he did put the lotion on his skin because it is looking good.
I don't need that. Anything to do with
And now he's slightly older. He's just very handsome. And
he looks like the Fishburne kid from Roseanne.
What?
The kid that played John Fish? What
the
was
DJ?
He looks like
Jesus Christ!
He looks like the kid from
Spoiler alert: No,
that kid didn't grow up.
Clearly,
cute,
you smoked something between your last viewing of Roseanne and looking at John.
No, he looks like DJ to be grown up.
No,
and now, unless DJ went a whole different direction.
Hang on, we're gonna find out
something.
Who was that kid? Well, yeah, because
something Fishburne, fish in a barrel.
You and me going fishing.
Okay, Richard, I don't know a lot of things, but that's not how you spell Hartnett.
No, it's not. It's Hartnett.
Yeah,
not Hart.
But
come on, Richard.
There's a couple legitimate spoiler alerts in the first season that make you want to come back for season two, which I just haven't started, and I will.
Okay, that's
specimen one, Josh.
Josh Hartnett, and then where's the Fishburne?
DJ Tanner now.
No.
Looks the same.
That's Sean Hannity.
No.
I hate jerking off to Sean Hannity.
I've never done jerking off anything.
It's not DJ Tanner. DJ Tanner was on Full House, but DJ from Roseanne.
DJ, right. No.
Yeah. What was their last name? Connor.
Drew,
DJ
stop
Connor.
It now.
DJ Connor.
Let's see.
That looks the same to me.
Not even a little bit.
No, Josh Hartnett.
He just has that skin.
Josh Hartnett looks more like DJ did when he was younger.
Oh, and those little.
What's his name? Fish White?
He needs to do something about
that. All right, can I just spoil the spoiler alert?
Can I interrupt you for just a minute? I realize it's your segment in my show.
Sure.
What's his name?
Now it's his show.
Now do you feel like. What's his name? Fish what? Fish out of water? Fish called Wanda? What's his name?
DJ Connor. That's what I Googled. I don't know.
What's the actor's name? Fishback.
Oh, with somebody in the chat room, please.
Help us.
Fish.
Oh, fuck off. Richard, stop drinking. So, spoiler alert, Richard, you're drinking too much. You're getting belligerent. That's my job.
Turn on Donna Summer.
Yeah.
Michael Fishman.
Michael Fishman. Thank you, God.
Cleaning up.
Fish lips. Baby fish lips. Yeah, because that's the phrase that's sweeping the nation.
Fish called Wanda.
Anybody got that movie? Besides Harrison? Baby fish lips.
Perkins, you may continue.
Pray continue. Okay, if anybody but Harrison gets the baby fish lips reference, please put it in the chat room. Or Facebook me later. Okay, so I already talked about that one. So we'll go to True Detective is about to happen. I think it's next Sunday on HBO. And I was not completely sold on our new cast, but let me tell you about the HBO promotion center commercials. Spoiler alert, however it is they make advertising happen on HBO, that looks fucking good, and I am on pins and needles waiting for next Sunday.
Me too.
Enough. Shh, I'm so popular.
Lar.
Lar. That's enjoyable.
Well played. Four things we've all seen. So, if you haven't seen it, it's Colin. It's the
Colin Farrell.
Farrell, who I always get his name wrong. Rachel
Firth.
McAdams looking like she's got a great part. I feel like we're not just playing the girl in this one. And Taylor, help me out.
That I don't know.
Swift
from Savages. He's kind of had an okay career. But
stand by.
Shilling Taylor.
Taylor Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch and Vince Vaughn looking good.
I love me some Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. And if you've seen the trailers, they just look incredible.
Incroyable.
I got that. All right, let's go to my actual list. So that was it. True Detective. So next week, we will be talking about Orange is the New Black. Please be ready for your Orange is the New Black. I'll give you...
Spoilers next week?
I will give you three episodes. You have to have three episodes ready. That's your homework.
Legit.
Okay, Veep season finale was on, and according to UpRocks, a non-scientific study reveals how mathematically funny... Veep is because it contains more jokes per minute than any other show. It's easily one of the funniest shows on television right now, but have you ever thought about just how funny it is quantitatively? Over at Den of Geek, a comprehensive-ish study was conducted to see just how many jokes were contained in each episode of the season of Veep. And they came to a pretty interesting conclusion. Veep can squeeze more jokes into its official runtime per episode than any other show on TV. They might not all be roll on the fucking floor funny, but after establishing criteria for what qualifies as a joke, sight gags, reaction shots, insults, etc., it was revealed that at its highest, about 5 jokes were told per minute. For episode 9, Testimony, which included the Jonah Ryan glossary of abuse, we'll get there.
Yes.
That's a joke every 12 seconds for the entire run of an episode. Yes.
Wow.
Okay, so let me just tell you a little bit about Veep for me. I was in...
Buckle up, bitches.
I'm in a Hyatt in Lansing, Michigan.
Put your hat on. All right.
Picture it.
And they have every channel, every chrome-plated channel of crap coming into that room. And I stumble across Veep on the HBO channel.
So you saw it Sunday. You saw the season finale of season 3 without ever seeing an episode.
And I get into the last 15 minutes of some Senate hearing, right?
Oh, that's the testimony.
Yes. That's right.
None of it was funny.
Because you watched 15 minutes of an episode that's been building
that's
for
three years.
But if 5 jokes a minute are coming at you, shouldn't something be funny?
Again,
I have to watch all of it to go, like Jurassic Park. Apparently, I can just join in at World and get it.
We're not aiming down for you. We can't do it. We're not. And I'll say this about Hannibal this year.
I like that you're part of the team.
Hannibal this year, Veep, Arrested Development, we are not aiming down.
Not dumbing it down.
We're not dumbing it down for you. If you jump in at season 3 because all your friends are talking about Arrested Development, if you jump in at season 3...
That's all you've done for the entire time you've been here about Veep.
Right, but you get there at season 1, episode 1, and you take the ride. Yeah. You can't jump in at any point. This isn't dumbed down television. This is not...
You don't get on California screaming at the top of the loop.
It's not for the masses. If you're going to jump in the middle and criticize it, fuck you. It wasn't made for you.
But may I just... Here was... So I have watched because...
Were you wearing that show?
Yeah. Were you wearing that shirt?
Apparently you have to watch the entire show or listen to the entire show to get that. Anyway, go ahead. Continue on.
Anyway. It's a good shirt, by the way. I appreciate the math humor. I'm into it.
It's red.
So this last one, the season finale, I sat there and I have watched all of it. And I was kind of like, I got it. They brought it to like a lot of
Silicon Valley?
I just wasn't.
No, Silicon Valley's not funny.
No, Veep.
Oh, okay.
Silicon Valley's a little bit funny. You have to be kind of.
No, it's kind of funny, but it's not
nerdy.
It's not
like it's Veep nerdy
funny.
Humor.
Yeah, it just
because it's high brain like political humor. This is Silicon Valley is
something about
jokes Ram jokes. Like
she was negating her daughter dating somebody, and there were some other things. I'm like,
this joke's been running for 8 episodes.
Okay, all right.
It's like Arrested Development. You can't jump into season 4 and think you're going to find it funny because you'll be like, what? Like, you're not going to get why the fact that they can't remember who the kid is dating because she's so generic. And every time he says something, I'm like, her? And they're like, oh, I think Anne is hiding in the attic. From who? The Nazis? Like, you'll just never get there until you realize that it's the father living in the attic and he's hiding because everyone thinks he helped Iraq and he's doing the same thing as Saddam Hussein. And when they do the slogan for the show, for the houses, they're built like a rock. Like Chevy, like a rock, but it sounds like Iraq, which they've been in trouble for helping the Iraqis. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the joke's so involved, and they don't, if you got there at season 4, they don't want you. Like Hannibal. But you can't jump into Hannibal right now. You're not
going to
get there.
I'm going to say that I have to agree. I felt kind of let down, personally, watching that one. And it wasn't, not overall, but when I've watched so many of the other episodes, I have laughed out loud where I'm like, oh my God, that was fucking smart. That was so funny. That was so just, it was brilliant. And this one brought all the jokes together, but it for me wasn't like the knee slapping kind of stuff that I was really enjoying.
I have said it before on this show, and I could not specify which episode.
But that's just me. That's
but
just my opinion.
I don't think that I am. And I'm a very funny person, and I get a lot of humor. I don't think I'm smart enough for this show. Even if I were to go for the back one. And I agree with that, but I'm saying, I don't even think that if I go back to one, the very first, and watch everyone in sequence, I don't know that I'm smart enough for this show.
Oh, of course you are. If you watch CNN for 20 minutes, you get...
And it's not even just that. It's the quick...
And I enjoy and cricket. I am nothing but
even if you don't understand what the fuck they're talking about. The
just the insults, the insults they throw at each other, or the fact that Gary just holds a bag.
Yeah.
And he's her whisperer. And he's like, Senator Doyle coming at you. I get large shapes. You know what I mean? Like, like when she starts screaming, like anything. But anyway, so they get to the testimony episode, which was all in jokes. So it was kind of dry. But then they get to the fact that Jonah has been Timothy Simons in a brilliant performance. For some reason, this guy has been grabbing his nuts in every episode for the entire season. And the senator that's Veep's friend, that's Julia Louis-Dreyfus's friend, wants to make sure that they don't get in trouble in the testimony for what they really did. So she wants to bring it to the fact that Jonah has been groped, but Jonah doesn't want anyone to know that someone's been touching his testicles every single episode. So that's how they're going to get them off point. They're not going to reveal that they got this list of, like, dead children to find the grieving parents, to get the kid with AIDS, and how they got, like, this horrible story to go. So in the middle of it, when no one can figure out who Jonah is, they give you 22 nicknames for Jonah. And if you saw this part of the testimony...
You talked about this a week or two ago. No,
but here's how you get to the four jokes per second. So when it gets to Jonah, and everyone's like, who's Jonah? Because no one knows who he is. He's this doofus. He's the 6'4" doofus. That walks around.
The names they've called him.
So no, but they say it during the test and sworn testimony.
I saw this.
To the long list of already spectacular names for Jonah, including Long Tall Sally, Jolly Green Jizz Face, Frankenstein's Monster, if the monster was made entirely of big dicks, Jonah, J-Rock, Jizzy Gillespie, Jack and the Giant Jackoff, Galeon, Tinkerballs, Wadzilla, One Erection, The Pointless Giant, Chimpanzee, The 60-Foot Virgin, Jono Ono, Hangrid's Nutsack, Scrotum's Pole, Transgender Former, 12 Years a Slave to Jerking Off, Benedict Cohen.
That was fun.
Benedict Cum in His Own Hand, Guy Scraper, my favorite that I almost shit my pants.
Wait for it.
The Cloud Botherer. When they go through 9 million nicknames to end up at the Cloud Botherer, shit in my pants, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, Teenage Mutant Ninja A-hole, assholes, Spewbacca.
Spewbacca with that,
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And for me, what was the funniest about that, there were the great names, but the people that were reading.
They're all serious in a Senate hearing.
Yeah.
And she says, the Cloud Father.
Yeah, where you're like, come on. Where, to me, that was the funny, where you just have this dry,
it makes monotone
kind of thing. That was that I was amused by. But otherwise, just overall, that
especially
one was
when they just go over, who's Jonah?
Yeah, who's that? So,
human scaffolding that doesn't work. Anyways, it's fantastic. If you don't like it, I can't help you.
Right.
How many seasons is this?
Just three, and they're 10 episodes each. You watch, they're fast, and they go by fast. And if you don't find it funny, it's like Arrested Development. If you don't find it funny, it's fine. Just don't tell me 2 years from now that you watched every episode when you didn't.
Now, I've recently found, and I think is often very funny, is the animated series Bob's Burgers. There is so much rapid fire comedy coming at you with that, and I don't know where I've been and when it started, but it's like so many episodes are so funny to me.
I just found the Cleveland show because a patient of mine watched it when he was in a coma,
and I don't care
which means that I watched it,
and I don't care for that one. I don't think that's funny at all. It's a spinoff of Family Guy, which I think is funny.
I don't know if I was watching the show you were watching or the show I said I was watching. I don't know the difference between the two.
One involves a shitty restaurant with three kids, and the other's black people.
I couldn't tell you.
I
just came back to a shitty restaurant with three kids and black people.
Could be a taco truck at any bar.
You don't know.
So anyway, but now the very last the season finale of Veep, because what's his butt that did it, and he wrote In the Loop. Another one, and if you don't find him funny, you don't find him funny. Then you probably didn't find In the Loop funny either. Very political guy, Iannucci. I think I have that name.
Loop?
I think I'm. That's the movie that started this whole craze.
Oh, okay. My bad. I don't remember.
He had this semi-popular movie that got a lot of attention, and then all of a sudden he had Veep, and it's very, very unless you don't, you could also not find it funny.
Right. It's legit. It could happen.
So that because he's leaving the show because he wants to go concentrate on his personal life.
Okay, I didn't realize who
and
was.
I think they ended it on a
This just in, Golden State Warriors are the NBA champs.
Hey. Oh, there you go. So LeBron and Cleveland never going to do it together.
So Di is happy right now. Yeah. Your mom is happy.
But I do feel bad for Cleveland. I do feel bad for Cleveland.
I do too.
Yeah. He
I
came back to help them, and he's so close. And he's got a huge cock. Does anybody see that picture?
How can he not?
That's entertainment.
What do you mean, how can he not? Not all the black guys.
No,
really.
He was adjusting. Do you see that? He was adjusting his shorts, and they cut it on camera, and he... Like, he flashed it.
Look at my face.
It was Nipplegate. I'm just saying.
It was Headgate.
I don't care if you like the hole or the pole. That thing was working.
Lord have
That's
mercy.
From Strangers with Candy.
Don't care about candy, but I saw the video.
So anyways, in the loop.
The hills were alive!
Nurse Jackie is coming to a very good end after a shaky kind of season, I don't know, 18 or whatever we're on. They came back for their season finale. They're going a little bit longer to end it properly. And it's just, it's still not a comedy. The show's not that funny, except for Nurse Zoe, Jackie Weaver. I think her name is Jackie. No, Jackie Weaver, someone else. I don't know what her name is.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Nurse Jackie is ending on Showtime. And it is just really, really good.
Oh.
I'm so surprised at how good this last season has been after they had a shaky penultimate episode. Uh-huh. And Veep's season finale, I didn't finish that up. It came together in a very ironic way. They didn't go with laugh out loud funny.
Right.
They went with just all the craziness of our politics. And my favorite joke was, who the fuck decided the Electoral College should be an even number? And it was...
I laughed at that. That was awesome.
That was very crazy.
Yeah.
But so Nurse Jackie's coming to an end. I told you about that. I told you about that. And now I'll just give you a couple movie reviews. Insidious 3, which came out a couple weeks ago, and I love Jason Blum. I talk about Jason Blum all the time.
That.
Blumhouse Productions. He did Whiplash. He does all those movies for $5 that make lots of money. Insidious 3... good, scary, fun, and I don't know why. In my,
you were scared to death, weren't you?
No, this was
that this Insidious.
Was a, that was one of them. Yeah,
where you were like scared to death.
No, that was Sinister.
Sinister.
Which there is a sequel to Sinister coming out later in the summer too. The Gift looks good, but anyways, so I saw Insidious 3, and again, it's not going to change your life. It's not going to be nominated for anything. Some legitimate fucking scares. Okay. And I scared the girl next to me, and she scared me back. Like, the two of us, she was hitting her date, who may or may not have been a man. I have no idea what sex the person was next to her.
Sometimes
it's
hard to tell.
We had so much fun screaming. And the surround sound was working. So the Dolby surround sound in my theater was...
Around.
Oh, yeah. My God. The person behind me... was like, I'm not doing anything. All the noises were coming from like over your shoulder. They did the backup sound and the side sound that I was like,
different backup sound.
I was ready to hit the person behind me because I thought they were fucking with me the whole movie. And they're like, so finally the guy behind me was like, I'm doing the same thing. So good screams, a lot of fun if you like that kind of horror movie. And then Jurassic World, for Jurassic, you're in good hands. All your Jurassic scares. I mean, the whole world has seen this now. It's the biggest opening for any movie. Mm-hmm. Biggest opening movie domestically and internationally ever.
Ever.
Yeah,
it made It made $500 million in 3 days.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
On some of
they
the
had my
worst
money too.
Directing yeah, I have ever seen. An imaginative 7-year-old could have directed that movie better. When they get off the truck, you get the army shot where the guy's got to stand there with the gun and go left, go right.
Sure.
Like, every scene was just stock footage from every movie you've ever seen. But
that's the way it felt like it was supposed to be.
But Steven Spielberg, when he does popcorn movies, they're a little bit more imaginative. They're a little bit more.
I thought the references were great. I thought that, like, as far as bringing it together fun.
I will not argue with the writing at all. I like that they went back to the original. They found the original place. They put together things. The rolling things were fun.
Right.
Are we safe? I just thought the older brother was such a cliche of rolling his eyes, acting, and the younger kid with, oh my God, I'm so excited to be her.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, kids, let's
Drew loved it. I saw that on Facebook. He loved it.
And no, it was fun. Like, it was a great thing about it. It was a very fun movie.
I just thought we could get a director who maybe has the imagination of higher than a 7-year-old, like with the first time with a camera.
By the time you get to the fourth, by the time you get to Jurassic World, it's kind of just a reboot of we didn't learn the first time with Jurassic Park.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, that's not a spoiler.
No, he just has it up there.
Yeah. Like by the time you get to this one, by the time you got there in the book, even when you were reading Michael Crichton, you were like, okay, I get it. And why didn't we learn the first time? Because Lost World was a reboot of Jurassic Park.
Was written as a screenplay. Like Lost World was the laziest writing. Jurassic Park is brilliant. Lost World is some of the laziest writing ever.
They're going to debate more about this story and other movies coming up in just a few minutes. We've got Kat Carlson's segment coming up. We're going to shuttle over. Plus, Thoughtful Vulgarity. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh my goodness, look at the time. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock here in the old Phoenix, Arizona. Hi there.
Oh, Christ on the crust, you don't know what you're talking about then. God, the
it's The Show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Alongside Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, that's Al Perkins in the Seafoam Green Ensemble.
Possibly Sea Mist. I'll accept Sea Mist.
Sea Mist. Ooh, that's exciting.
J'approuve.
What we just left last hour, crossing into this hour, is a debate or a rumble or whatever you want to call it over Jurassic World.
And really, neither. No. I mean, I would give it a really solid B+. I just thought the other efforts were like, all three efforts were better. I think the first book is better than the first movie. Jurassic Park was a really good movie, but one of the best books I've ever read. I think I read it in like 25 minutes.
I'm a big Michael Crichton nerd, though. Like, always, everything that he's written,
hands down.
Like,
except for The Lost World.
Well, sure.
He wrote a screenplay. He just wrote the screenplay.
Right.
He dummied that down.
And that's fine. And Marnie said, you know, she says, you know, well, maybe they left it open for another one. Like, that's the whole point. Like, you've opened this genetic can of worms that got away from you. Like, it's always open for more.
If you did not see the actual part where they said, here's where the sequel starts. Right. Because they practically, it was kind of like the worst of Steven Spielberg watered down by a person with the imagination of a 7-year-old. There is a part where they actually took a mallet and hit me over the head with someone that said, here's where we get the sequel!
Right, this is what's coming
because
in the next
Because where
movie.
Did that character go? Right. He's probably going to be in the sequel. Right. Although I love that they brought back B.D. Wong. That was a nice little flashback. The writing was good. I thought the writing was pretty solid. I just thought the directing was done by a 7-year-old with no imagination. When that guy got out of the truck in the military outfit and did the, that's Alien, that's Aliens, that's every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, that's every war movie where somebody gets out of the truck and has to look left, look right.
Yeah.
And they're all going to die in there. Well, of course they're all going to die in there, you dumbass. We've all seen a movie. I felt like I've seen a movie before.
And I
knew almost everything that was coming, and then they filled in surprises eventually.
Well, and I didn't show up to be wowed. I showed up to have a good time. Like, I know the story. I know how this ends.
But I was wowed by the first three.
No.
Like, I was wowed by The Lost World, the scene where she's hanging on the glass, and the glass is cracking, and you have that whole scene going over the cliff. That was brilliantly directed, and I was on the edge of my seat for that entire movie. The plane crash in number three and the rolling of the thing over and over and over again was good. Like, Jurassic Park, the original movie, was a roller coaster.
Well,
I never sat back and took a breath. Wow. This movie, I kept being like, okay, yes, I saw this movie in 1981. I mean, they weren't even remaking good movies anymore.
But see, as far as
I felt like it was an Independence Day. You know, where at Independence Day, all they do is do lines from other movies?
Right, absolutely, and I can see that. I think for having not as a differently abled moviegoer, that you go to movies all the time, and you and Buddy, for instance, are you critique them.
Right, but I also sit in something in a roller, like The Fugitive. It's really brilliant.
Just for a moment. Yeah, just the idea that when I was sitting in there, not like, oh, I have to go see Jurassic World. I went for a purpose.
Yeah.
To go along with the family and hang out. I left having just utterly enjoyed.
Having had a good time, yeah.
Having had a great time. And it was simple, yes. It was, you know, I didn't have to think a whole lot. I didn't have to wonder what was kind of coming next. But at the same time, it was mm-hmm. just the scenery. I thought that my problem was not with the writing.
I mean,
I'm just saying it was just.
We'll get into what's his butt's eyeliner a little later.
Yes.
Chris Platts.
Yeah, that was.
He was almost dressed as Alice Cooper for parts of the movie, and why did her hair kept getting curly and curlier?
Right. Yeah. It was first time
on the island, dear.
Yeah,
I'm still gonna go with humidity there. Yeah. I feel like that's pretty good.
But it was so startling. It was such a startling, like,
Pruitt.
And he does it too.
I was so
Matt Pruitt.
I was super unimpressed with her overall.
Oh, no,
I was
again.
They could have written
Tomo.
Like, her part, they could have written an ice queen that melts in a really nice way that like you yeah. feel it. Mm-mm. I had no patience for the aunt. I was like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. None.
But and
I don't know if that was acting or directing
or
where that comes from.
I went and saw Terminator 2, and I was fascinated and completely enthralled by the entire movie. You know what I mean? Like, Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. I buy in. If you do it, I buy in. Honest to fucking God. Like, I'm not that picky about movies. Sure. I can turn off my brain and just watch. But if you just keep doing cliche after cliche after cliche. Like Twister. I'll watch Twister any day you want me to.
Okay.
Everything about that movie is delightful. Okay. I can turn off my brain and watch that cow fly by and watch Jamie Gertz.
I gotta go. We got a cow.
I honestly can turn off my brain at any point. Yeah. But when you keep telling me,
there's a sequel coming,
it takes me out of the movie. And I hate being taken out of the movie. Like, I want to stay in it. Like, Insidious 2, 3. 7. I don't know what number we were on. I never once was like, oh, come on.
Sure.
Like, I never once was like, well, there you go again. I was like, whoa, that's startling. I was scared. Like, you know what I mean?
Goodness.
You put a jump where I needed to jump. You put a thump where I needed to thump. The old lady said what I knew she was going to say. Stick to the rules. Stick to the girl you came home with. It.
Sure.
So I was just disappointed that this is the biggest movie of all fucking time. But if they fuck up the new Terminator movie, because I like Terminator 3. Again.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, one of the best movies I've ever seen. That tick, 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 tick. That soundtrack is relentless. Aliens, Terminator 3, loved it. Tear down the whole town with something, whatever that fucking thing is on the side of the truck. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. No complaints whatsoever about Terminator 3. They fuck up this new Terminator.
Are they going to bring back Drug Addict? Forgive me.
No, he's been gone a long time. He hasn't been back in a movie in a while.
No, I know. I wonder if they're going, as far as...
I'm just assuming which drug addict. Terminator 2 drug addict?
The what's his face?
Furlong?
Furlong.
No, he's been gone for a long time.
Okay.
He hasn't come back for a sequel. They've made 7 of them. He didn't come back.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be snobby. Like, I like me some part seven of a lot of different shit.
Right.
But this, I just kept being taken out of the movie, and that kept disappointing
That's
me.
Fair.
But I loved the fishy thing. Mm-hmm. Loved that. Mm-hmm. I loved T-Rex coming back. Like, there was parts of it I really enjoyed. Yeah. But why does her hair keep getting curlier? And how did the Barbie outfit keep changing? And when did she change her shoes? You know what I mean?
Like, she never did.
She never did change her shoes.
No, she never did.
I know. And I did catch
that.
I was going to bitch about the shoes, but then I'm like, no, she's making them work.
Yeah.
Bitch got it
she
done.
She ran in those motherfucking heels.
She ran in heels.
Look. That was like, calm the fuck
off. I've been seeing the Queens bitch about that on Facebook for days now.
I feel like that's a positive.
No, all right.
Like, she never changed those shoes, and she ran in those motherfucking heels.
And then my last teeny tiny complaint, and it's really just me being an asshole.
All right. Spoiler alert.
Al's
an asshole.
Right, Al's an asshole.
Alien 3, I didn't love, but Alien 4, I did. I love me some Alien movies. And Alien 6, whatever that last one was, with Charlize Theron, who can do no wrong, I love that one too.
I love that one.
You're exactly right. Anant is exactly right with the Indian actor in Jurassic World. That's right.
Oh, yes. And one of my favorite, most beautiful movies.
There you have it. It's his favorite?
Oscar-winning director for the movie The Life of Pi. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I won the Oscar pool that year because I picked Ang Lee for Life of Pi way before anybody else did. One of my absolute favorite musicians does the score. Michael Giacchino does the score for Jurassic Park, and I was not wowed.
Okay.
And I was like, well, and his name came up, and I wasn't disappointed because I didn't really care about the score. Like, sometimes I listen to a score and I'm like, wow, who did that? And I'll say, listen to it. Mm-hmm. His name came up and I'm like, Oh, really? Like, you made something mediocre too? I just kept being disappointed. But I, when it comes on cable, I'll probably watch it again.
Right.
Sure.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I love me some dinosaurs. I love me some dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. They're not sharks, but they're close.
Yes.
By the way, when is next Shark Week?
Shark Week is early this year to accommodate my travel schedule. So it's like the first week of July.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll need to know because I want to make a special theme for Shark Week, the show, our show.
Yeah.
When is it? I'm sorry.
I think it's the first week of July, or it's in the first.
Well, then it's next. It's like in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up. And I'm hoping that they took all of the criticisms from everyone besides me from last year to stop with the mockumentaries and do.
Sunday, July 5th.
Sunday, July 5th. And please do a real Shark Week again. Like, stop making fake documentaries about sharks.
Otherwise, no one else.
Just Megalodon.
Yeah, just do shark. Just do PBS-style Life of Sharks.
Week, right?
We're going to follow them around. We're going to see them jump. We're going to see them hunt. We're going to see them kill.
Eat fuckers.
And I'm serious. The year that they had me every year, but the year that they bit the guy standing in the shallow water saying that sharks weren't dangerous, and it literally, with seven cameras on him, chomped on his leg. Best popcorn moment of
my life.
That's
good TV right there. I'm not...
Oh,
yeah.
Jenny, we will not even talk about how much I love
were
Jaws.
Were you able to go to that? I didn't catch if you were able to go see it in the theater. When
it's June 21st. It's coming up. It's a week. It's a week from yesterday. Jaws in the theaters. If you have never seen Jaws in the theaters, it's Michael Giacchino. Brilliant. He did Up. He did the music for Up. He did the score for Lost, all that beautiful music for Lost. But he won his Oscar for Up. And the movie for the music from Up in the opening scene, spoiler alert. Yeah. As she's dying, all that beautiful score is all Michael Giacchino, and he is just beautiful.
Nice. I had a, may I?
Just, yeah, please.
Let's,
just I'm done. That's
very,
it.
Please do.
I was laughing.
But Jaws next Monday.
This is more some personal anecdote from when I was, Mom and I came over to your house for Thanksgiving, and we were there and with Doug and Mark Martinez and everybody, and we were talking, Jason was there, and we were talking about hash browns. And hashtags, and we couldn't figure out hashtags to save our life. And my mom goes, "What is it? What is this hash browns? What is happening?" And we all burst out laughing. She's like, "Hash brown this, hash brown that."
It was such a funny conversation.
The Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh,
when she came out of nowhere, and she's like, "Hash brown that." I thought that was fantastic and just a cute, kind of a cute memory that was very fun. And I started watching Grace and Frankie. Because I wanted to watch.
Did you get
it
to the earthquake
mom.
Yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. You would know.
I was like, no.
You'll know when you get to the earthquake.
But I wanted to watch it with mom. So she's enjoying the hell out of it too.
Sure.
God, I mean, just enjoying the hell out of it. So that was another thing because I now have in my house, in my room, I have Hulu Plus.
Well,
I have all of it. I have like a Sony Blu-ray that has Netflix and Hulu.
And you signed up for all the things.
Yeah, I have everything.
Once and you finish that Apple, glass of Kool-Aid, my work here is done.
I have Apple TV.
Good work.
I have the Apple TV out in my
oh my God, I've done such good work.
So excited. It's like the coolest fucking thing ever.
I had Apple TV before you did, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but she's using it for good. spoiler alert.
And you didn't bring this
fucker.
Up. It was something that I just saw about Halloween coming. They're doing another
Halloween Returns.
Right.
They make it really
make another, but it's the people from Saw. Have they been doing the others?
It depends.
No?
Now the first Saw movie is Jason Blum, my boyfriend, future boyfriend.
We're
very much
that,
in love,
which changed me for life.
Yeah,
the first
because
Saw.
Because the first Saw is not all that graphic. It's just it's very tense and
it's
cuts
sick
before
and
it gets
suspenseful.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
It doesn't get to torture porn.
Is it actually about a Saw?
There's a Saw.
And a very
Saw.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
And so, for those of you who I maybe have not made this pronouncement in a while, my favorite movie genre is horror, by far and away. Even though I love my Oscar movies, and there's only been like two horror movies ever nominated for Oscars, I absolutely love horror.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen Jaws, as much as I bash Steven Spielberg and John Williams.
Right.
That is one of the best scores and probably one of the greatest movies ever made is Jaws. If you've only seen it on TV though, and you've never seen it letterboxed, you have no idea the beauty of this movie and the film. It is some of the best cinematography ever captured. It's one of the most beautiful movies ever made. There is acting beyond compare in this movie. Like, it's one of those movies that people think of as like a summer scare fest, and it's a very, very, very well-made movie. So you have a chance to see it next Monday in the theaters. Go see it and see what summer was all about when, like,
just Monday. Just Monday.
Yeah, well, it's a one day only. But if you get a DVD, just don't watch it on TV where they don't letterbox it. If you don't have black bars on the top and the bottom, just stop.
Right. Are you going next Monday?
I'm hoping to. I'm going to look up times and see what it is because I'm off.
Let's look up times, figure it out, because I could probably be time mom into this and just for the fun of it.
And this, I think it's mostly improv, if I'm not mistaken, but Robert Shaw, his scene about the USS Indianapolis and the shark attack is one of the most devastating monologues ever given in a film. And I think it's mostly improvised, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he was just given a general like impression. Trust me, I've seen so many fucking movies. I like all things, but when Mama's in the mood, Mama wants horror.
Well, and this says the Saw writers pen recalibration.
Oh, okay. Then that's very good. Saw writers. Anybody involved with Saw 1? It's just, it's Saw 9 through 20.
Okay. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. So
it is, because, the first Halloween, we've talked about that ad nauseum. Go ahead. Shit on this.
The Melton and Marcus Dunstan, it says.
I only know Jason Blum by name because we're going to get married.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. Okay, well, have we wrapped up your segment
now? Oh, long ago.
Oh, my God. We're ready to go into Kat Carlson's segment. It's called Shit on This, and it goes something like this.
Good Lord, all the things to shit on. What do I got? I've got porn and lasagna. I've got Supreme Court okays gay marriage. I've got World Cup issues. I've got Mercury and snacks. I've got a transracial controversy, if we even have time. I can talk about ridiculous. Well, no, of course we're going to start with that one. But, you know, as the list goes, we may not get to everything, even the last headline on my list. So there it is.
Hit the post. I love you for that.
All right, so we will start there. Let's start at the transracial individual that we've all been hearing about.
Hugh-sexual, I like, but that's just me.
One of these things doesn't belong
here. Wait, what was your term?
Hugh-sexual.
Hue.
Yeah, but it's not sexual.
It's very cute, yeah.
It's not sexual, but I just like the Hugh-sexual, because I was like, where do we fit an H?
LGBTH,
she could have Hugh-dentity dysphoria.
Hugh-dentity!
Spoiler alert. Kat was the winner. Kat, right. Kat won this episode.
Well done.
Debbie was fired, but Kat won.
Linguistics are my jam.
Well, jam away, bitch.
Jam away. Well, you know what? I'm sure everybody at the table is probably a little bit more educated. I've seen all the headlines and I've just been reading today. But to recap, the chapter leader in Los Angeles of the NAACP.
Actually, Seattle.
Was it Seattle?
Yeah. She's in Seattle.
You're right, Seattle. See? Look how good I'm doing.
Yep.
My favorite thing of the whole goddamn day is she broke her silence.
Yeah.
She wasn't holding out.
Right. No.
Well, and she was outed by family who were like, no, she just is
white. She's crazy and white.
She's crazier than shit, and she's white.
Crazy and white, but was the chapter leader of the NAACP.
So were her other five siblings. They're all white. Yeah.
Sorry. And now people are all up in arms, and she says that she identifies as a black person. Like, this is the part that gets kind of, like, fuzzy and hazy. It's a little murky here.
No.
She says, from the age of 5, I was drawing self-portraits with brown crayons instead of peach crayons and black curly hair. She's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman at the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, a little more tan.
She might be in a Beyonce video.
Looks like this bitch about 8 years ago when she was working in a tanning salon.
Remember, you can't kill evil, but you can tan it.
And so now everybody who's everybody has like an opinion on whether or not we should respect her identity or whether we should call her out as a fraud because she's masquerading as a black woman.
Or is she blackface?
Right. Is it offensive to black people?
Is she doing Al Jolson songs? That's the question I have.
My issue... first of all, I looked and I was like, okay, just requirements for membership of the NAACP is $30.
It's not colored.
It's not be black.
You don't.
Oh, that's interesting.
For membership, the requirement for membership, I could sign up to be a part of and a member of the NAACP.
Because you're just about the advancement of colored people.
Right.
And they're still called colored people, just like the one for the that Barbara Streisand used to endorse for the word she don't like.
Sure. And it's like being a member of the HRC. I don't know if I renewed this year. But, you know, as a member of the HRC, I've donated my $25 and I got my messenger bag or whatever, which is right. I didn't get a messenger bag, so I didn't
bring it up at the meeting. Find a meeting and go to it.
I got the toaster oven because I brought two people with me.
I didn't pay the $25, so I didn't get my messenger bag. But I looked. Like, that was the very first thing that I thought about. And I was like, what is the requirement to be a member? Okay, so clearly... you know, she's not changing herself to get into an exclusive club. Mm-hmm. NAACP is like a lot of other advocacy groups, and they want your allyship. Whoever you are, if you're for the cause, you're for the cause. Mm-hmm. We want you.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
We want you as a new recruit.
Yeah. Nicely done. Exactly. Like, HRC doesn't care if you're gay, straight, trans, whatever, as long as you're contributing and leader, part of the cause. And their
leader. But how many gay people would go fucking apeshit if a straight person were the
president,
of the HRC?
Nobody.
Not the president of HRC, but the president of GLAAD.
GLAAD. Okay. Sure. Something like that. So that's what I'm thinking, like, with NAACP. It's okay.
And we don't know if the NAACP, in what city was she in?
Seattle.
If they would have accepted a lily white woman,
sure,
regardless of her past and her very, very twisted road to where she ended up. She went to Howard University for a master's degree in art studies based on a portfolio. And
sued them because
they discriminated against her because she was white.
Yeah. Like, what? Pick it.
But she also... She was the advocate for the Tacoma police. Was it the Tacoma police? She was the ride-along cop to work with the, I can't remember if it was Seattle or Tacoma's police force, to work with the black community. Okay. And she did a lot of good with them. Like, she's done a lot of good with the community,
right,
while doing really strange things. And it's one of those I find this story so interesting.
It's so fascinating.
Because
right.
you can have two... Yeah, she's a professor in black studies at Northwestern University, Northeastern University. Mm-hmm. She didn't lose her job. She resigned.
She resigned. Oh, okay. Yeah, she resigned.
Oh, this one may be outdated. It says she lost her job.
Oh, she may have. But she went to Howard University, yes, and it is a black school. I think it's Northeastern University that she was the professor of African studies. But then she said stuff like she lived in South Africa and she was like beaten with...
I would say there were some straight up lies in the middle there too.
Didn't she have some kind of monkey thing? But didn't she as a white woman sue Harvard for...
Howard.
She sued Howard.
Right. Yeah.
Like, as a white woman,
they discriminated against her. Right.
Because they didn't know... Because her portfolio of art was all... African-American base, because she has four adopted African-American brothers. Like, her parents had her and then adopted four African-American children. She married a black man and has an African-American, like, she has a black son. And then she adopted someone as her own son. So she has a black ex-husband, four black brothers, two black children.
She's Donna Summer.
Right. So there's all these different things of like crazy and then doing good, but the crazy is so crazy.
So
it doesn't really outweigh because what she did was good.
Like,
yeah, they're unjustifiable, but at the same time, what she did with her lies was kind of good for the community, but it was disrespectful to people that these things really happened to.
Right.
The thing about being whipped by. And it's a monkey name that sounds so awful, but I can't remember what she said she was whipped
Bonzo?
With. No, it was like, yeah, but I mean, it's...
Bedtime.
Bedtime for Bonzo.
Baboon whip. There it is.
Oh.
Okay.
And she hunted for food by bow and arrow. Thank you, Jenny.
14 amazing lies told by Rachel...
Yeah, the lies are insane when the NAACP would have accepted her, and so would her children. Like, one of her kids said she was...
She claimed a man that... she claimed an African-American man was her father, who's clearly not.
But he's a father figure.
A father figure, okay, but said, this man is my father.
But that's like if
but
I was...
But he's not.
But if I was adopted, like, if her brothers are going to say, this man is my father, and he's white. So that part I can't get on board with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When she says that someone is her father figure, I'm going to go with that. You can't go with biology. If you identify someone as your dad...
I'm going to tell her I'll be her father figure.
No, but we've talked about this. If you identify someone as your father. That's your father.
Okay, I'll allow it. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading off the list here.
So that's the only one of her lies that I'm going to give her. Yeah, I'm going to give her that one. The rest, I'm not going to be.
She claims she was born in a teepee in Montana in 1977.
Gotta go.
Claims that Jesus Christ is written as the witness on her birth certificate because her parents lived in the middle of nowhere and lived off the land.
Can't go with that
one. She claims she grew up hunting with a bow and arrow.
Yep. Bullshit again.
Claims that she has no contact with her mother and stepfather, which parenthetically does not have a stepfather. Because of a deeply traumatic and painful past.
But she considers this other man her father. So I'll give her stepfather if you don't have another word for it. Again, we're just going to allow that one for personal experience.
Claims her parents beat her and her brothers and sisters based on their skin color.
And I don't think that's true because her brothers are not backing her up on that one.
But I think one of her brothers has a little touch of the Downs. He's a little special one.
But
probably
again,
not the Downs, though, because that's an either you got or you don't. That's,
well, he's got a little something.
Yeah, that's not a spectrum.
Well, I saw him in an interview last night on the CNN, and I thought he was a little special.
I don't know how many chromosomes.
He may be, but anyway. Is he Roger?
No, he's not Roger.
So therefore,
There's not.
He's just maybe some oxygen deprivation was going on.
Dropped a couple of times, like
Britney Spears.
Right. She claims her mother beat her and her siblings with a baboon whip, a whip that was used to beat slaves in the past.
I didn't know that was from her mother. I thought she was saying that that happened because she was a woman somewhere in South Africa.
And claims that the whippings left scars. Claims to have been slipped a Mickey by a... That's a really fun euphemism.
Slip her with a Mickey pin.
Been slipped a Mickey by a former mentor of hers while they were celebrating the sale of one of her paintings.
Her and Simpson have that Mickey slipping thing. And Cosby, potentially.
Cosby did like some hot black chicks.
Hot white
too
chicks.
Soon?
They may not have liked him, but, you know.
No, because he went after Beverly Johnson.
There's
so
always room
says
for
she
Jello.
Claims that her ex-husband used to beat her and then throw their son across the room when he tried to stop them.
And if all of that is true, that's fucking horrible. But don't make it up if it's
And she
that,
did divorce
you know.
Him, so we don't know what... Right.
Right, yeah. Like,
there's some
please,
of this...
Please, don't make that... Like, if that's true and has fucked you up, like...
That's neither here nor there. And the fact that she didn't start doing all this till 2010 is another, like... Like, she says she was drawing herself with a brown crayon, and we're supposed to accept, like... Hue questioning or whatever we're going with.
But even in the interview that she did with Matt Lauer this morning on Today, she actually contradicted herself because he asked her the question, when did you start identifying? And she tells the story about the crayons, yada, yada, at 5. But he shows the picture of her, which he initially says was you in your early 20s. And she's like, no, that's me at 16. And he says, well, did you identify as a black woman at 16? And she says, no. And immediately after that, she says, I was drawing pictures of myself and identifying at 5 years old. So her story contradicts itself.
And that's one of those things where, like, I want to follow
you. And I just think it's a bad perm.
But the math keeps taking me out of the interview. Like, I want to follow you down your dark path.
I think
I
want to
be a good audience.
I want to buy into this and the whole story.
The hair is very pink lilt curlers to me. That's what I think.
But everybody's like, oh, she's blackfacing. No, she might just tan. Like,
sure.
Like, my sisters are lily white, and they sit out in the sun, and they actually, unlike me, they actually tan a little bit. I mostly turn red and then go back to lily white again. But
after you
they
peel,
actually
it goes back to...
sun up and tan, and if you put a funky hairdo on them...
Sure, you could. Absolutely.
You know, and then the woman who was arguing against her today, and I can't remember what her book is called. I think it's called Passing for Black or something like that. That was on CNN today, and I'm like... sweetheart, you're the same color.
Right.
Like, whatever she did, she achieved your... Because there's so many shades of olivar skin.
Right.
That she had achieved that without anything really specific. Like, she certainly wasn't wearing, like, orangey...
She wasn't wearing self-tanner.
It was very... And it wasn't makeup. Like, but... And I'm like, you know, with the right blondish, wiggish Mary J. Blige in the right era, you're kind of getting to the same.
What do you guys think about the fact that they're comparing her
to Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn Jenner.
We have to say that about everybody? And that was the argument 2 weeks ago where somebody said, and I may have argued it out loud or just screamed at you all because I was drunk and had just woken up.
Good morning.
Both are possible, that there was what I thought was a very insensitive black woman saying, what if I wake up tomorrow and say I identify as white? Mm-hmm. And we were all, and I was like, well, that's a little bit different. But now we're having to say that same thing. Like, if she says she identifies as black, how can we argue when somebody can, what can't you just change your identity to?
Yeah, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?
Can't you say
I'm not arguing for that, that's what a lot of people are saying. I feel like a princess, therefore I am a princess. And that's how I identify. That was not me saying that. That was something that was written.
And to back it up slightly from the absurd. I bring this up all the time. Like, I grew up in an Italian, Polish, German neighborhood, and I very much, and I just spent a weekend with, and it, like, what I think is the quintessential Niagara Falls Italian family. I just went to a wedding and spent time with them. Like, I didn't identify with that Italian family, but the Italian family that I do identify is like my extended family. To me, I'm Italian because I like
I liked their
I didn't go to their church, but the things that they did church related, I found more enjoyable than ours because we didn't drink. You know what I mean? But I like their food. I like their culture. I went to the Italian festival.
I think the difference is in the details. I think the difference
is I didn't join the Italian AACP.
Well, not only, not even that. I think the difference in this woman's case, she seems to be like, not all of her stories seem to be adding up. So I don't know if there's like abuse and mental illness happening.
Clearly
I don't know
there
if there's
is.
Just, I don't know if it's just straight up mental illness happening, but the difference is in the details. Like, I thought of like Eminem, I think is a really good example, believe it or not, of someone who grew up in a very like predominantly black area and kind of identifies with his surroundings.
And isn't the rap culture a part of this conversation?
Sure,
because those people like
So,
Macklemore,
you know,
and all them, or Ryan, or whatever one it is.
So yeah, you can go to the rap community and say, okay, all these white rappers are not necessarily masquerading as black men, but they, you know, grew
have
up
adopted the culture
in this culture, in this neighborhood, in this scenario.
Right.
You know, so you could be, you know, the adopted German Irish boy in the Italian household and be, you know, part of the Italian household. You didn't make up a fantastic story about how you were kidnapped by the mob and kept in a basement and then, you know, made to believe that you were an Italian.
But on the other hand, if you have, African-American brothers and you married an African-American man and you have an African-American child, aren't you living...
Part of the black community. Right.
And that's what I honestly don't... Like, I'm so conflicted with this story. I just don't know which way to turn because sometimes I'm on her side and sometimes, like, bitch, you crazy. Like, I just don't know where to go.
I think the devil's in the details. I think the fact that her things are not quite lining up very well.
But
and
she did
that,
good things with it. She ran, she worked the NAACP. No. She worked with women who suffered from abuse. She did ride alongs with the cops.
And to many people, it just feels like a big fucking lie and a big story and a big.
But like if the end result is all for good, like. Except for whatever happened at Howard University and whatever she took advantage of or sued for. Other than that, if the last 5 years you've been working for the betterment of the community you're pretending to be part of, then don't we owe you a little bit of a pass? Like,
and at the at the end of the day,
and I'm not disagreeing. I'm
I don't even know which side I'm on.
I don't either. I think
a good place.
I'm kind of like, what? I looked up.
A good place to start might be who is being hurt by her story. Like, is anyone being hurt by it?
Is a community being maligned?
The only thing that I've heard in regards to it was somebody being hurt was that she denied an actual black woman or man from being a representative in the community of their own culture, if you will, whatever.
So she took someone's place who deserved it.
That's what they were saying. But I agree. I'm with Al. I'm like,
if her brothers, her husband, and her kid fighting, are, isn't she in that community?
And she's already she's fighting for the same cause that another, you know, a black. I don't want to say legitimately black, but I'm gonna say a darker skinned
born
into
black.
Parents, non adopted. I mean, she's fighting from the same cause.
Yeah,
and it's all fucked up all the way around.
So if a gay couple adopts a straight child and the straight child says they identify as gay and they fight for gay rights and maybe they even pretend to be gay to get on the the GLAAD committee because they're interested, like. We're in just such a weird gray area of like, what are you allowed to pretend to be? And Tomo, if you catch me around like Christmas time, I go full on Italian on you. And like, you know what I mean? Like, if you tell me it's time for Christmas, I'm like, where's the fucking lasagna? Or if you catch me with my family from out here that I took on, sometimes I feel a little Mexican and, you know, we're not going to get there.
So does Clayton.
Right. Well.
Sure.
In regard to this entire thing,
yeah, exactly.
This entire story makes me refer to Donna Summer's Grand Illusion.
Richard, are you still there?
Very good.
It's true.
I like it. Yeah.
You have a few more stories, I think, to get to.
I should hope
in a short amount of time.
At some point. I mean, I'm not going to get to all of them, so we're gonna touch the important ones.
Well, let's see what we can get to.
With very little fanfare, and I'm quite certain no one heard of it at all, but the Mexican Supreme Court
has
legalized same-sex marriage.
The person I stalk follow on Facebook posted about this earlier today.
Yeah, I have that story as well. That's
someone you may stalk made a bad hair choice, I think. Am I right?
Oh, no. I'm well aware of who that is, but no. Different person. Different person.
Okay. I'm sitting right here. And it's growing back.
The person,
caller, are you there?
Could you scratch off hair?
No. this person made the comment about the Mexican legal.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm all on board.
Mr. Medina.
Yeah. As it turns out, Mexico's having a very similar problem to the United States, in which the states
are having a Mexican immigration issue.
Yeah. Because only the bad Americans are going that way.
Right, exactly.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Continue on.
No, in that the state laws are restricting gay marriage left and right and left and right. And so the presiding Supreme Court is finally said
that
state laws restricting marriage to heterosexuals are discriminatory, even though the decisions have been made with, you know, again, little public fanfare. Like, this didn't make Fox News. I doubt it made CNN. You know, it didn't make any news here and made very little news in Mexico. But
I think tomorrow it will make more. Today it maybe. Was... I think they're going to be on that news cycle where they're just tomorrow. Yeah.
Today and tomorrow, today.
Cutting edge right here.
Well, right here. We always do that. Yeah. We always do that.
Yeah. I do that a lot. Yeah. I see it. I see the stories that we have talked about like later on in the week on other stuff.
And no. I think Wednesday on The View is Tuesday on the show with Clayton McKay.
Right, exactly.
They are a day behind us.
I think they're listening.
It always happens.
Yes.
I'm actually on his Facebook right now.
Nicole Wallace might make me vote Republican. There's a danger.
No, there's not. God damn it.
I love Nicole Wallace.
Oh, my God.
No, she's reasonable. She should marry me. So reasonable. But Carly Fiorina, out. All the wrong answers.
I haven't been watching.
All the wrong answers.
I come and go with Rosie.
She was on tonight. Go ahead. My apologies.
No, you know what? I don't have a whole lot else to say about it other than the fact that it's done in Mexico. Yeah. Like, the Supreme Court has said that all of these laws that are restricting marriage are discriminatory. You cannot say that this is only for...
And now we have to sign a pact. Right. We all have to say together because it's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
The ruling is expected the last day of the Supreme Court, the 29th or 30th. Yeah.
A Thursday is what I read.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I'm expecting it on Thursday.
I thought it was a Tuesday.
No, Monday or Tuesday. Yeah. It should be the 29th or 30th of
June.
The
web is full of lies.
Yeah. No. but Google is, I'm 99% sure it'll be a Monday or Tuesday because the court.
They usually do. They usually put their shit out on Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, and it finishes the last day of June, I think. They go on recess.
And they're going to wait until the end so they can just mic drop and walk away.
Wow. Good point.
And I'm pissed off because
they did that before. They did that last year.
They did it with marriage equality. Mm-hmm. They did it with Obamacare.
Yep.
And they have to bump Obamacare and answer questions. So I just want to, because the trans community opposed Silence of the Lambs because that there was something in the movie that left it vague that's not left in the book, that Buffalo Bill was transgendered. And that was his psychosis.
Those of you that suddenly got lost
were addressing a comment in the chat room that says, do you remember when the trans community opposed Silence of the Lambs?
But we're talking about being born that way, being in your psychosis, and what is your goal? And it was very, 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 very clear from how Hannibal Lecter, because I love all things Hannibal, Hannibal Lecter explained to them that they needed to go to sexual reassignment surgery centers and find people that were rejected because his true pathology was not transsexual. And he says that in the movie, too, but it gets lost, that you're not looking for a transgendered person. You're looking for someone who was turned away because of violence.
Right.
And he wouldn't fit, but he would have kept applying because what he's looking for is change, metamorphosis, a cocoon into a butterfly. Like, it's very specific.
I remember the scene. Of course, I do.
It's my favorite. Right, it's my favorite movie of all time. But they're very specific in the book, in the movie, and it just got lost because of the mouth breathers. That was not part of his thing. Was he thought he was, but he was not a true transsexual. And Jodie Foster even says they're very docile. They're very like, she makes it very clear that they're on the wrong path.
Right. Yeah.
So again, and if you've never seen Silence of the Lambs Letterbox, then there's something wrong with you.
Finishing up on same-sex marriage in Latin America.
I will tie you down and make you watch the movie. Greatest movie ever.
Those of you that are updating your maps,
I'll give you liquor.
Can now color in Mexico along with Argentina, Uruguay, and Brazil, already allowing same-sex marriage.
And what do they have in common besides in Ireland? Don't forget Ireland.
Yeah.
No, Latin American countries.
Oh, I'm sorry. I
don't want to list all of the countries in the world.
My apologies. But what do those countries have in common? Catholicism.
Yeah.
As their predominant.
Yeah.
That Catholicism, the biggest fighter is the first one to lay down and take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because
spoiler alert.
And we talked about this with Ireland. I think, you know, modern Catholics are starting to go, it's kind of a guide. It's not an absolute. It's kind of
I think modern Catholics are like, yeah, you guys are pedophiles. Like, we're not going to take a lot
of. There's been a whole lot of that goes around too.
You know what? We're going to take our moral ambiguity from people that don't diddle children on the regular. You know what I mean? Do you think that factors in more than I do? Anybody?
No,
the scandals that have been in the church over the last 15
that people
years,
are reading them, being
kind of over it, going. Yeah. Maybe you're not so directly from God as we used to think that you were, as we used to be told that you were.
So this will lead into my thoughtful vulgarity. Yeah. Okay, very easy.
Okay. I like it.
So not now. Put your finger off the button. She's got more.
Last little bit of information, and then I can go on to one more topic, and then I can be done.
Yeah, you got time.
Let's see. To recap, Latin American countries currently permitting same-sex marriage: Argentina, Uruguay, Brazil, and now Mexico. Chile plans to recognize same-sex civil unions this year. Ecuador approved civil unions in April, and Colombia grants same-sex couples many of the same rights extended to heterosexual married couples.
Fucking Colombia.
Right. Fucking Colombia.
Coffee and cock right there.
I'm saying. Good news coming.
If you can't get it done with coffee and cock, you're not doing it right.
Of Mexico.
Or you're a lesbian.
So that's coffee and cock.
Or you're a lesbian.
Or you're not interested in either of the two options. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Lesbians don't do coffee?
Longtime listeners will know that this particular segment started out
as
sports and such.
We're not cocky about it.
And now it's just called shit on this.
Now it's just called shit on this. But in the spirit... gotten classier. In the spirit of nostalgia, I want to congratulate the women's national team for winning tonight and moving on to the next round, being the number one team in their D group, so moving on along in the World Cup.
Okay, great.
Allegedly, the next game that they play will be on Monday afternoon, which I'm very excited about. It coincides with some drinking that I like to do.
Nicely done.
So, your Mondays at Oso.
Yes.
Oso Paradise Valley. This coming Monday, it may move to Zips on Greenway and 64th because of some...
Because it can.
Well, a little atmosphere action and a little, personal action. Right. We'll see.
I don't feel like typing, so might I read aloud?
Let's.
So it says, the country to our north and the country to the south have marriage equality across the board, but the U.S. is still struggling to catch up. Holy fuck. Miao Kel, I just want to remind you, we were founded on religious freedom.
Right.
So we do not get religious freedom.
No, right.
So what we have to do is take it up the ass for religious freedom. Yeah. There you go.
Dry.
The
Murica.
Murica. Murica.
Where you take it up the ass dry. Because that's how Lindsey Graham likes it.
Or there's a little holy water.
Pray continue.
Speaking of dry.
Spoiler alert, it's dry.
There's a dry.
This fuck's going to be dry.
Wait, where the fuck did my...
I don't know what to say.
Oh, there we go.
I just clenched a little. Like,
Speaking of dry.
I don't think I'm...
Picture it.
Speaking of dry.
1941. Sicily. Oh.
That a girl, Jenny.
That moment... During a sporting event, when the star player makes a crazy play and you want to stand and cheer, but you can't, lest you lose your basket of nachos.
Oh, true story. True story.
I had that happen the other day in my own house.
Every time I try to toss my basket of nachos, it all goes wrong.
Well,
I step in the old union.
Our own Phoenix Mercury have solved that problem.
Well,
Phoenix Mercury fans won't have to endure such a situation again.
No cheering.
Thanks to
no cheering.
Wait for it.
Can I guess? Can I guess? Okay.
No. Thanks to the Nacho Fanny Pack.
Nothing says lesbian more than nachos in your
fanny pack.
Now, it's all about it. Now, where do you keep the cheese?
Stand by. What's the Nacho Fanny Pack, you ask?
It's nachos.
I didn't ask.
Exactly what it sounds like.
I did not.
A bag of tortilla chips and a cup of nacho cheese served inside a souvenir purple fanny pack. It's one of several new quote unquote wow
what
food
color,
items.
What color does that come in?
Hang on, please. One of several new wow
food
items offered this season at Phoenix Mercury Games at home.
Wow, that
when you wear
nachos are in your fanny pack.
When you wear the fanny pack and it's around you, is it the Griner grip that it holds on with?
I don't know.
That would be thrown up.
I thought that'd be bigger.
I think she'd chuck a phone at you.
Yeah. Exactly, and slam you into the wall. I was thinking that it was going to be the nachos were served in your bosoms.
Well, you could certainly cinch that shit up there if you wanted to.
Marnie's going to serve you a tray of nachos in her cleavage.
Now,
Swallow!
The bowl's
spoiler alert, Marnie swallowed.
My chin's in the cheese dip, I'm sorry.
My chin's in the cheese dip.
If I had
a nickel for every time I've had to tell that to a girl. I'm sorry, my chin's in the cheese dip.
a quick rundown, if you will,
of Wild Factors.
Of the food items. We have, of course, the Nacho Fanny Pack. This hands-free snack is an exclusive Phoenix Mercury-branded fanny pack that comes with a bag of chips and cheese dip inside.
Color?
Purple.
Thank
no,
you.
But okay. Mercury brand.
I can't get get my mouth to my fanny pack. Well, so no. Does she have to eat out of my fanny?
Picture it.
Pack.
Picture it. Ready?
Wait for it.
Strapped around your ample midsection.
And you bring it to your mouth?
No, you just eat it like fucking nachos. Or
oh, I went with a trough-like reference. I thought I no longer used my hands.
No, no.
Because they was praising Jesus.
But when you jump up because... Holy fuck,
very
whatever
excited.
Just happened, all of your shit does not fly into the person in front of you.
Right here.
Oh my god.
For example. Right there. For example, were this bag of...
Is she wearing that shirt in this story?
It's bright enough. God, I'm sorry.
So when you're sitting down, it's enough. But when you stand up,
I know.
It's right here.
You're going to find me. It does not dump to the floor.
Spoiler alert, the person in front of you just got a head full of nachos.
Not with the nacho fanny pack. It stays close to your ample midsection.
Ample.
What do you call it, Mercury?
Have you been to a Mercury?
In my mind,
there's a FUPA involved in this area, I'm pretty sure.
They also are now offering.
Now, my thought is when my ample midsection stands up, it bends outwards. Oh, yeah.
You know, like your pants kind of roll down a little
right.
bit. I'm just saying maybe. My
muffin may go slightly
my
bitter.
Muffin brings out the book.
I will attempt to illustrate.
Oh, stand by.
Please stand by. Please stand by.
Carlton is doing
a
live reenactment of...
If anybody in this house has a spoiler alert, I'm going to drink this wine and leave.
First... Sans fanny pack.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Hooray!
Oh! The struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. $8.
Spoiler alert. Down the
with,
drain.
With fanny pack.
Right. Wrapped.
With fanny pack.
Right. Now it's like a papoose, though. You're wearing that like a papoose.
I'm going to wear that motherfucker on top of the... Of the
well, I would
so you're wearing like a tit sling.
I have a question.
It's the nacho tit sling.
Is the papoose above or below nipples?
I'm going to go
the way
below
she's
nipple.
Wearing it.
All right. I would want it above because right then I can cheer and chew.
I want everyone at home to put something on your midsection and stand up and tell me where that lands.
I don't want
anything more around my midsection. Yeah. Cheer make the and chew. Bigger,
I already have a natural shelf here, so I'm pretty sure that's where I'm going to put...
Said
nachos.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, said pack.
Could you get out of my head for just a minute? Because there's no room in here for you.
Upper abdomen.
But if they were attached by a belt of some sort.
Mid-nipular.
Right. Then when I stand to cheer, they just come with me.
I was... And did I not say that they should be done cleavage level for the Mariah?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly where I was.
Because every time you stand up, those things are mid-boob.
You could be dipping the girls in salsa. Them.
Right.
Well.
Oh, left hand.
That's not a bad idea. That's
it's not a bad idea at all. Nacho Titsling. Molly's new drag name is Nacho Titsling.
Milk.
Did you see my Amy Schumer?
No.
Milk. Salsa, sour cream.
milk, lemonade, around the corner, fudge is made.
Oh, that's
all right. Continue on.
Anybody who stays tuned in while Amy Schumer's on, first you're dumb, and second, thank you for being dumb.
Yeah.
We appreciate your stupidity.
Other hungry other items hungry spectators can order and perhaps try and fit into their fanny pack include
spoiler alert, you're hungry.
Shut up. Include the 3x grilled cheese, which is nearly 1.5 feet long. It's made with three
Does
types
that come
of
on
cheese.
A tray? Like right here?
Could you describe the smell of your cheese?
Lindberger?
Would you like to lend me your nose?
How many
and Lindberger?
Smell my cheese.
Is that Munster?
How many batteries are involved in the foot-long cheese?
I'll have the blue cheese Lindberger.
Cheddar.
Gruyere.
Oh, I like some cheese curds.
And Swiss. To represent the Mercury's three WNBA championships.
Oh, I thought she was going to say three lesbians on the team.
No, they're all fucking lesbians.
They're all, thank you.
Spoiler alert! Jesus, don't ruin it for them.
God.
So, any local listeners, if you happen to purchase...
Or if you want to fly in
shut up! If you happen...
Molly, her new drag name is Nacho Titsling.
I like that Clayton's on a 10-minute delay.
He's on the ABC time.
I don't like your attitude.
We've already said it out loud, laughed at it.
I said it loud enough to everybody to hear.
Yeah, okay.
I'll listen back.
Yeah, exactly. I did the musical already. I started in the stage play. Done the dramatic reading reenactment with
Did
Jessica
you use the
Lansing.
Word kraut involved in that?
I did. The first one was German. I own a trailer.
Okay, so Kat, I think Kat is closing up her surface.
I believe my segment has been appropriately shit upon.
All right,
Are you sure?
Next caller!
Then we'll move into this next segment.
I didn't shout once tonight.
You're good. I know.
Really?
I just shouted.
Because I got up early and ate. This wake and bake thing. You guys got to stop me.
For real.
We got to order a pizza. If I say wake and bake, you order a pizza. Because that ends ugly.
I'd like to order pizza.
I screamed at people about the Tony Awards for 20 minutes last week. It was off.
It started off really fun, though.
Oh, and it went wrong.
It started off really fun.
No, it was
kind of like tonight's show.
I started to listen to last week's show.
Enjoyable.
And it was very fun. I think probably because I pounded like 3 beers before the show even started. I was drinking.
And then you got me drunk and then hungry and started talking about the Tony Awards.
Nobody twisted your arm, Becky.
No. It's because I don't eat. If I say wake and bake, that means no food. You
get
gotta
this
take...
motherfucker a pizza.
Yeah. Spoiler.
I don't keep food in my house, so you're right.
So we're going order a pizza. Make it sound like you were cooking.
Shit. Nope. Not gonna happen.
Is this coming remotely from Pizza Hut?
Oh.
Boneless chuck.
In the spirit of trying to get through all of this shit. We have 7 minutes left, and let's close it off with this little shit show we call the Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Everything.
This show could go wrong, and it often does.
Often does.
Oh, you're being.
And because I'm a frequent listener, it's always me that goes wrong.
No,
like,
not always.
No.
Because you don't permit me to talk.
I know we could date.
Well,
back.
No, I could. I don't want to let you let it go wrong. I know you. All right, so our question becomes: we go to. No, the wake and bake means exactly what it means to me in high school, except for, well, like, wake and bake could mean, Molly has asked what wake and bake means. Wake and bake means that if I work Monday night, I actually get up just prior to the show, and I don't eat. Get up, take a shower, come right here, start drinking, and try to make this little trail mix shit that I make work. But the problem is I drink as much as I do in a day when I've been up all day and done stuff. And I have not eaten, and I'm fucked up.
But it doesn't mean the same thing.
I a little bit agree with Molly, because in high school, it meant open your eyes, smoke a joint, maybe get out of bed.
But wake and bake can mean either thing. It's either liquor. You only get two choices. To me, it always meant liquor or pot, depending on where you were, what was available. Now, if it's wake and bake, if it's just smoking pot and I don't drink, you're in good hands, girl. We're going to go all kinds of Ethel Merman with
it's
you.
It's Allstate.
Yeah, then you're good.
All right.
But liquor, empty stomach. Okay, so we're going to go with our Catholicism and the Latin American countries and everybody doing good. Do you think, we're going to go all kinds of political on this one, do you think that the Pope's alleged encyclopedic? What is his thing called? Encyclic?
Go help me.
Oh, yeah, you just saw that?
You're welcome.
I've not seen that yet.
I posted a link in the chat room.
Is the new black?
We're looking at memes
I'm
on
so
Facebook.
Sorry.
What is your
something about the Pope?
So the Pope has put out, and somebody Googled the word for me. What and they make them now and then. They're called encyclics or encyclopics.
Encyclicals.
His is coming out possibly this Friday, if it wasn't last Friday, and I believe it's this Friday. And he is going to say that we, as a world, as Christians, need to address climate change. Will this finally be the nail in the coffin for climate deniers? Like, is this what we need?
No. I think the climate deniers are going to hang on to that just as tightly as possible. And not, I mean, no, absolutely not. I don't care if it's the Pope. I don't care who it is.
Okay.
I really don't see it being anything that will be that monumental to them. They'll hear it and they might go, but no.
Okay.
Dr. Ben Carlson. I think it is One, I think Marnie's totally right. Like, the dumb people are still going to be dumb. It doesn't matter who's shouting. No matter who's telling them the truth, they've bought out the Kool-Aid, and they're just going to be whatever it is. Having just, like, revisited the entire Jurassic Park mentality, find it incredibly arrogant for us to be leaning on the Pope to help us fix climate change. Like, climate change is a thing.
My favorite thing is the hubris of man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know.
I grew up next to Niagara Falls. The hubris of man. You will die.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Except for that one lady in the barrel. You will die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So I find it incredibly arrogant for us to, you know, be sitting here thinking, oh, maybe the Pope can fix climate change, or maybe the Republicans believing it can fix. Nobody's going to fix climate change at this point.
Right.
Okay. We have to adapt. We have to decide how we're going to continue to contribute to it or not contribute to it.
Right.
You know, with the things that we have found out or believe are harmful to our environment. We should probably figure out how to deal with that. But we're not going to change or fix climate change. It's not happening.
Right.
Like, climate change is going to happen with or without us.
And too many, if I may, too many of the people that have bought the Kool-Aid and drank the Kool-Aid and are now selling the Kool-Aid are making too much money from that Kool-Aid.
Sure.
In
this country, there's a really big money pit But nature finds a way. Like, shit will survive. It may not even be us, but shit will survive. Like, climate will change and things will change, and we might have to stop living in the goddamn desert and go live in the mountains and, you know.
Yep.
Life will find a way.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite quotes.
Oh, mine too. Yeah.
That and dead is dead.
Everything Jeff Goldblum said in the first one, like, Ian Malcolm was his, was his character name?
Well played.
Everything he said in the entire book and or movie or some of the fan fiction, I'm 100% on board with. Clayton McKee?
I'm going to agree with a little bit of what both of you said. I think, and Harrison in the chat room, we're not going to change. We are not going to stop climate change because the earth just keeps revolving and it keeps changing and does what it does. However, I think that there's way too much money involved for people, and they're blinded by their money to realize
it's called
that
oil.
Right. Exactly. What it is. The fossil fuels. They're just way too blinded with that. They're just denying what is actual and what is real. And this is coming from a person who, the lawnmowers that I love are two cycle mowers. They burn oil and gas at the same time. They are what have been banned in so many areas because they're not environmentally friendly. That's why they're no longer made. I get that. I'm not going to give up any of my lawnmowers, just to let you know. But there are so many people that are just driven so much and blinded so much by that, and they're afraid of their lack of importance because they may fall out of a family or a wealth, or because, again, oil. They're just not. They're going to derive their beleaguered point home on the fact that it's not happening, not there, not this.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's funny because I did see today on Facebook somebody. Some politician, and I forget who it was chastising the Pope on
Rick Santorum.
No, it wasn't him. There was another one because
I know what you're talking about.
I would have thought it was Santorum, even though I'm sure that fucktard.
No, he is.
Is exactly.
He says he leaves the science. He says leave the science to the scientists. And it turns out that Pope Frank, my buddy,
scientist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So no, I think that until you can separate the money from the mission.
Well,
I don't think so either.
And the arrogance, because many of the people that are making that money,
the hubris of man,
right? But they're not looking at it, and it's for themselves. And in their lifetime, it may not really be affected, but they don't care because they could give a shit. I mean, you know, my son will be fine, my daughter will be fine. They think or hope. But don't really care.
Yeah.
Because they, I think, are very, very much just, this is what is now. And it's all about the present moment and that instant gratification.
We are a Protestant nation. Like, we've only had one Catholic president in all these years.
Yeah. And he got shot. And he got crazy shot. In Dallas.
Yeah. But I think
the
Pope saying something is going to have an effect on people that are going to be like, shit, that's God's representative on earth that just told us.
Calm down.
And then
fucking it up.
And then He also studied science in school. I think this is going to have an effect on places where we're not expect, like small places, like Pennsylvania with the fracking.
In the
like,
Ozark
I think when people are now bragging, like, do you know that we are now the number one producer of oil and gas in the world? Like, we are not reliant on other countries anymore.
I did not.
We do not rely on other countries. We can produce enough oil and gas in this country
for us
to not go to war over oil and gas.
That's good news. I feel like that's good news.
It's good. It is in theory, but it's not in actuality.
Because, right. The good news is, but we're fucking up our own environment because we're like, fracking.
Oklahoma's got fucking earthquakes all over the place because of it.
Hundreds of earthquakes.
Right.
So, it's just one of those things where I think this one is going to make people stop and be like, oh, fuck, he went to college. He's God's ambassador on Earth.
He washes the feet of poor people.
Of poor people and women and Christ almighty. There's women on the planet. He accepts
so many things.
Nixon being a Quaker is my favorite thing about Nixon.
Oh, and then you add to the icing on the cake is he's like, who am I to judge gay people? Oh, my God. Fracking and all this other shit. And he's about
but
gay
I
people?
I think those two things Again, can't counter- say enough about
Frank. Cannot say enough about Frank.
I actually think in a way that those things are counterproductive because the idea of the crazy fuckers that are over here thinking the fracking and everything else is just great and we're going to keep doing it and keep doing it, they seem like the ones, maybe I'm wrong, that really don't like the gays.
And blame the gays for the earthquakes, not
right,
the fracking.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. I'm not saying you're ever going to convince, you're not going to get the fringe.
Right.
You're not going to get Donald Trump to be on Page because if Donald Trump was truly religious, he wouldn't be on Wife Number 7 and Chapter 11, Number 16.
Right.
But what I'm saying is you're going to get those a little bit... Richard, we'll talk about that in a second. But you're going to get those people that are kind of in the middle and kind of caught up in the middle to say, wait a minute, like the Pope's on board with this? Like you're going to convince some of those people that were on the fence sitters.
Which are always, we've learned from our presidential elections, that those are always the people that you need are the fence sitters.
Yeah. Like, but I think we underestimate in these Catholic states, and I'm not saying around the world, Anant, I'm just saying we have very Catholic states that vote a certain way, and they sit in New York, they sit in Pennsylvania, they sit in these places that have unions, they sit in Delaware, they're very East Coast. Like, as you go more west, you get more Protestant, but as you go more east, you get to more Catholic. I think we're going to see people being like, oh, fuck, it's the Pope. When you get to the Italian community, when you get to the Hispanic community, you're going to see people saying, like, Mexicans still don't believe in birth control because of the Pope. Like, they take some of that shit literally.
There's still a lot of the people that don't vote, though, because either they can't.
Yeah.
Because of circumstance, or they don't because of being pushed down.
Yeah.
You know, as far as education and everything else. So that's where, again, I understand, but I'm like...
And we have to wait. We have to wait for other parts of the world to come into effect. Like, India, China relied on bicycles and human transportation because they didn't have that option. That they need to get their oil fix, they need to do their car fix, and then they need to get over their car fix.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But first, because that's part of capitalism, we got that earlier. India's getting there ahead of China. India's already been there. They've done that. Their modernized world already has all that stuff. China's new to this.
Sure.
China went from bicycles and no smog to cars for everyone and smog like crazy.
All right.
But they've made their adjustments. They didn't need the Pope. They looked at the smog and said, what the fuck is this?
Exactly. Yeah.
So China like went up and came down. And Richard makes a point about Canadians for electricity, and I'm assuming you mean Niagara Falls. But Niagara Falls used to... in the day supplied electricity to a third of the nation, and it was only usurped by nuclear power, not by what's considered clean. Nuclear is still considered clean energy by people who are really stupid, because we don't allow regulations. If we regulated, it could be cleaner. Sure. Okay. But Niagara Falls was the main source of electricity. Hydroelectric power is it was one third of the nation.
Sure.
And so I don't know if Richard, if that's what you mean by Canada, but New York, the Robert Moses Parkway and the Robert Moses Power Authority are all hydroelectric, and like that is Niagara Falls is power. Like, there's not as much water flowing over the falls because they use that for power.
Okay,
so that is clean energy that we are one of our natural resources in the United States. We used it for power.
Oh, it's wonderful.
So, I mean, it's just interesting. It's just, it's when a religious figure, not a religious figure, but the head of one of the major religions of the world makes this kind of statement as he's about to, this, is it this Friday? Or last Friday?
Yeah, no, it's been leaked. He's supposed to address.
I think it's, it's been leaked and it's this Friday. Yeah. I think it's going to have something.
Quebec?
Yeah. And he's talking about Quebec, but Niagara Falls is really like one of the biggest power sources in the world.
Okay. Before we leave this topic, do you have a follow-up or are we done?
No, I think we addressed the follow-ups. No.
Good.
And I think it has to do with like
it'll
how...
be interesting to see.
You know.
And I would love to say, I hope that you're right. I hope that you're spot fucking on and that, you
well,
know,
like Rick Santorum, who now... Rick Santorum runs on being a Catholic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he tells the Pope to like leave science to the scientists and then get shut up about it.
Right.
And now Rick Santorum only runs on being Catholic. His only... running point is that I am, you know, an emissary of the emissary. Sure. So don't you have to follow? Right. And you're from Pennsylvania, so that's where fracking. No, New York State is no fracking, because of Cuomo. He said no fracking anymore, and they have all those vineyards. They have all that wine. They have all the fresh lakes. You don't want fracking there. You don't want to mess with their water.
Right, with the water.
But Pennsylvania, a lot of lakes, a lot of fresh water, big cities. You don't want earthquakes. So if a very Catholic state says, okay, the Pope said no, Rick Santorum's a dick.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's a big thing.
Sure.
Well, because I think Rick Santorum just was talking out the other side of his mouth, which happens a lot of times because, as it turns out, like Pope Francis has a degree in chemistry.
That's what I'm saying. But if Rick Santorum all of a sudden becomes an advocate for clean energy and starts...
that'd be a good thing.
That's what I mean. Like, if all of a sudden he has to stop talking out his ass about gays having sex with dogs and... polygamy,
right?
If he has to say, well, I'm supposed to be on the Pope's side. Like, my mission and the reason I bash gays is because of the Pope. Mm. Doesn't he have to get on the clean energy side? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
If he's going to take it as link. And then thank you for all the suggestions. I just want to say that. I watch them. I listen. So that's next.
Absolutely.
We just ask that, would they not be deleted till I make the link?
Oh, wait, I won't delete it.
No. But he did it last week where he did it at the last minute, so I had to get the link in.
Oh, well, it's been a fun show.
Everybody.
My gosh, we went over time. We did a good show. Most of us paid attention.
I didn't scream at any of you about the Tonys.
Not quite, exactly.
But I have to apologize for that last
week. Fun home, fun home.
Wake and bake means order a pizza. Fun home, fun home, fun home.
I should know that. I should have a direct link to... Well, I have a direct link to Domino's. We're good.
No, I will get it on my phone.
All right, kids. Thank you for joining us. It's a Tuesday night. It's Kat, Marnie, Al, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. Thank you very much for joining us. Before we go, we will leave you with this parting thought.
We will.
See you next Tuesday! Still didn't write it down.
I wrote it right here. It's right there. It's right there. It's on my goddamn notepad.
You're brilliant. You're brilliant, brother. You're brilliant.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.